Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up, bro?
Through your team. Teenagers with attitude, clad in tightly colored costumes, book and star. I ship them to all three gold dogs. How will I come through?
Rangers, I'm told you all here today. Listen to this awesome podcast right now.
Lumps of clay,
because they're very evenly matched, unfortunately.
This week I am Zach, which might be different next week, we'll see. And I'm joined by Matt.
My name's Matt. It's been a while, I think, or has it been like 1 week? I've lost track of time.
I don't think it's only been a week, but God, who knows with this
thing. I think it's been 2 weeks for you.
Yes. We've got Mike.
Do we? Am I really here?
You are this week, yes. You're here.
We took him out of cryostasis. He's a little woozy. Give him some time.
We've got Joel.
This week, can I be somebody else?
No. You can pretend to be Simon if you can do a Quebecois accent.
I think it's Quebecois. I cannot.
Quebecois?
It's Quebecois, right? Because it's not Quebec, it's Quebec.
I'm actually really upset he's not here because I just watched the episode of Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown about Quebec, and I wanted to just say a bunch of dumb facts at him until he got irritated with me.
But, I'm sure there will be opportunities for that.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen. We've got Luke.
I gotta say, I missed last week, but I said that the Kimberly having a bad day episode was my favorite. It is already being contested.
Is it because this episode's worse?
No, it's better!
Okay, sure.
This episode of it are.
And joining us, we have our buddy Graham back.
As promised, at the end of my last episode, I am still Graham. I did not stop being me in the meantime.
I'm glad to hear that. That would be sad. So yeah, I do want to take a quick second to say Simon is not here because it is his first anniversary with his girlfriend. So congratulations, aww, Simon. Sadly, he is not here, but he did want me to say that he loves this episode, and that he is very fond of Goonie Bird eggs, and I think he's just fucking with me, because...
I don't know, Goonie Bird eggs seem to be the hypest shit, so...
So, we'll talk about that in a second, but, before we get into it, I have a couple pieces of more factonominal this week.
That's an awkward word. Have you been calling it that this whole time, and I just wasn't aware?
Yeah, sometimes we call it morphanewsnimal, and if it's news.
That's worse.
Yeah. Have we talked about the fact that they kind of stopped saying morphanomenal?
I mean, yeah, they haven't lately. I think they say it more than they do.
Yeah, they do say it in this episode, but they definitely toned way down on it. Yeah. And also, Billy talks like an actual human being, like, most of the time now.
That's okay. So... He's still dressed like an asshole in this episode.
Yeah, not like the stereotypical asshole you'd expect him to be dressed like, though.
I don't want to talk too much about other podcasts, but because Joel is on it. Joel, I did watch an episode of Digimon because of your other podcast. What's it called again? I'm sorry.
The Digital Moncast.
Okay, there you go. There's your early plug. And Izzy in that show, the character Izzy, is way worse than Billy could fucking dream of being.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we covered that pretty much immediately.
Okay, good. I'm glad. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, Billy's calmed down with that, like, more phenomenal. Oh, God, I replaced it with their own bullshit word. They've toned down on it, and I don't know. I like that goofy crap, but at the same time, I'm not really sad to see it go.
Honestly, what I'm sad about, embarrassing.
I'm sad that they never... They made a promise early on when Billy said, that was truly morphitudinous of you, Kimberly. That they were constantly going to try to work the word morph into other words.
And they really don't. Yeah. Yeah.
What is morphitudinous even supposed to mean? Because I'm not sure that's meant to be positive. That could be anything.
What was the word we figured out that he was supposed to be saying?
I think fortuitous, right?
Fortuitous, I think, is what it was supposed to be, but they missed the mark pretty hard.
Yeah, God, it was really bad. Yeah, it didn't become Smurf, sadly.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah, it's not like they're just saying it in place of other words.
What the morph is going on in here?
Yeah, see, that would be pretty good, but no, not so much.
Mother Morpher.
Okay, have any of you guys... Fuck it. Have you guys seen the Smurfs movie?
No.
I can't say as I have. All right.
I know I watch a lot of shitty movies, but I watch a lot of shitty movies that are comically bad, like Shark Zone. Why the fuck would I watch the Smurfs movie?
I don't remember where I saw it. It was not my choice. But there's something that movies for kids do where, like... In that movie, they just straight up use Smurf instead of swearing. And I'm like, right. But kids shouldn't get that. Like, that's not a joke, because they shouldn't know what Smurf this supposed to
mean. The tagline for the movie when they're advertising it was Smurf happens.
Which... I know, that's awful. Like, what?
Which, that's just something they do. Didn't the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, go monk yourself or something like that?
Yeah, they did
that
too.
I imagine the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie also had a shitload of, nuts innuendo, because of course it fucking did.
Guys, I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
There
are how many?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry to report to you that the internet exists now and children hear swear words in the womb.
It's not okay. Yes, you're right. But still, you shouldn't. That's lazy. Like, it's a bad joke.
Well, yes.
And B, they shouldn't you have this thing, this trope from the old 70s show. Maybe it's not that old. I don't know how old Smurfs is.
I think it's older.
Is it really? Fuck.
I think it might be 60s.
But
wasn't Smurfs originally a Belgian comic strip?
Yeah, I think it was. I'm not gonna put my
no. That's true. Belgian comic franchise centered on a fictional colony of small blue creatures.
Weird. Okay. But anyway, be a little less lazy with it. Don't be that gross with it. And I am in that sense glad that they weren't morph you, and that would be really terrible.
Oh, wow, the Smurfs cartoon started in 1981. That's way more recent than I thought.
Wow, that's garbage animation then.
Well, it's Hanna-Barbera. What do you
expect?
I was
about to say, wasn't that the quote-unquote lopsided air quotes high point of Hanna-Barbera?
Hanna-Barbera's entire business plan is, we can make the cartoons for the kids for a tenth the price of those Warner Brothers fucks.
Well, that was actually super important when Hanna-Barbera got going, because the idea of doing animation for what a TV show's budget was at the time.
Yeah, was kind and of also ridiculous. Being able to make a cartoon that was 22 minutes long was crazy. They couldn't do that.
Yeah, you got to bear in mind, early on, TV shows for kids were basically reruns of the Warner Brothers theatrical shorts and Howdy Doody. There was no budget.
That said,
and people found some fucking weird shortcuts to get kids' animations on TV for low budgets. Remember, have you ever seen fucking Clutch Cargo?
No, what is Clutch Cargo?
I've never heard of Clutch Cargo.
Wait.
Google Clutch Cargo.
I'm doing it.
This
will
be a really good part of the podcast.
Yeah, no. Here's what it is for the listener. It is a cartoon where instead of actually animating the character's mouths, instead of animating the character's mouths, they filmed the voice actor's mouths and superimposed him on still pictures of the characters.
Oh, this is a literal actual nightmare.
Well, and here's the thing about that to me. Like, I guess
isn't that Conan O'Brien thing?
Yeah, he did a recurring thing, celebrities on.
This was how they got the, yeah, this is how they got the animation budget to work, was just to actually put the actors' mouths on the character. Which was especially weird because, like, back in the day, same as always, the little kid, the little boy that was traveling with them was voiced by a woman, so, like, you see, like, very clearly lipstick on the little boy's
she
lips.
She got made up for it, yeah.
Yeah. Clutch Cargo will really make you appreciate the quality of Power Rangers if you want to stare into the fucking abyss.
And Hanna-Barbera. But what I was going to say is, like, yeah, okay, they figured out how to make, like, long cartoons for a cheap budget. That doesn't excuse them from making 7 different cartoons that are group of teenagers solves crimes with a talking blank. Like, how many of those were there? There's the Dune Buggy, there's
Jabberjaw,
there's one was a ghost, there's the caveman.
Actually, that was kind of the best episode of Mystery Incorporated.
Yeah, that is
Scooby-Doo having the dream sequence, and like they do the fucking team up of all the dumb talking.
Yeah, they
mascots.
Go to the mystery solving teens convention.
Yeah, basically.
It wasn't
a
convention, it was a contest to see who the best mystery solving teens were.
Yeah, that is a good like great. Yeah. I will rag on Hanna-Barbera till the cows come home, frankly. But what am I saying?
where are the cows? Why do you have cows at your home?
I mean,
I don't know. Like, I had a dumb sentence, and I was desperately trying to, like, push it into a level of dumb that it came off like a joke, but I didn't. I, like,
no,
hit the bar while trying to vault over it. So it's just, now it's a mess.
There were, like, 7 different metaphors in there.
It is weird that Hanna-Barbera kind of, like, they kind of became a company that all they did was riff on their old shit, right? Like, they did Birdman, which, like, that was the whole thing.
Well, was that, like, Hanna-Barbera proper, or did they license it out?
No, that was them.
Okay.
And then, like...
That's William Street, right? Is that part of Hanna-Barbera?
Well,
no, you're thinking of Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. There's an actual cartoon Birdman that...
The stuff like
Birdman
and Space Ghost and that kind of thing were all legit old Hanna-Barbera cartoons, and then the William Street guys repurposed those into...
Well, but aren't they part... Or I guess are they just owned by the same like parent company?
Yeah, they're both owned by like Turner.
Okay, I didn't
know.
That was kind of the pitch of shows like that, is like, hey, this company owns all these old characters we're doing fucking nothing with. Let's do something stupid.
Right, yeah.
Like C-Lab 2021 was originally a cartoon, like C-Lab 2020,
like,
I think it was.
Let's just hack up this old cartoon and talk over it.
Yeah, and I think C-Lab 2021, like, got, like, 5 times as many episodes as the show it was a hack job of.
Apparently, Scooby-Doo is now owned by straight-up Warner Brothers, so my bad. That's not... done. Okay, I guess Hanna-Barbera might not exist anymore.
Speaking of other shit they hacked up, didn't they, like, hack up the old Wonder Twins cartoon for, like, a bunch of shorts for, like, Adult Swim or something like that?
Yes, they did, yeah. But it wasn't for Adult Swim, it was just for Cartoon Network.
Oh, okay, because I remember the Beaver Moat gag.
Well, they definitely, like, Cartoon Network had, like, interstitial cartoons that they used from the old Justice League.
Well, cartoon. And like Space Ghost Coast to Coast started off as like a more kid-friendly show called Cartoon Planet. And then like they somehow moved to Adult Swim and like got more like they upped the age of their target audience.
Okay. Well, Space Ghost Coast to Coast existed before Adult Swim as an institution really existed. Cartoon Planet, I looked this up because I insist on being right at all times. Cartoon Planet was a spinoff of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, actually.
Oh, dang, you're right. Okay, I was assumed it went the other direction, but now I'm looking at the years.
And Cartoon Planet was really just kind of like a block of other cartoons that Space Ghost kind of hosted.
Wait a second. Space Ghost Coast to Coast started in 1994?
Yeah, it's really old.
I had no idea it was that old.
I would stay up and watch it with my dad when I was like way too young to actually be up that late.
I would have thought 98 or 99. I am shocked that it's that old.
It was a really good show.
Yeah.
It ran for some time, and then it was brought back as like a web series for a while, and then eventually it like everyone quit caring about it and it just went away.
It had 110 episodes.
That's okay, do you guys remember? Do you guys remember GameTap? It was streaming rental service. They hosted the new episodes of Space Ghost Coast to Coast for a while. It was the only place you could watch it. It was GameTap.
I remember seeing commercials for GameTap and not understanding why some ROM site was advertising on TV.
I subscribed for a while with my like shitty dorm internet in college, and I played, I don't know, maybe three things, and then after a while I was like, I can't play half the stuff that's on here, and the stuff I can play, I don't want to, so.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
I never understood how they thought that service was going to actually be effective in most of the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they were alone in that thought.
That's true. I mean, there are a lot of people that try to do streaming services. Okay.
I was going to say, where were we originally here?
This is a podcast about Power Rangers.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about this entire time.
What the fuck are Power Rangers? We're
about to start talking about
Power
online,
Rangers are
right?
A Hanna-Barbera cartoon from the
1990s. They're not actually that unsimilar from a Hanna-Barbera
cartoon.
They're kind
of not. They just need a talking dog. They've got Alpha. Never mind.
Yeah, they just need to run through a looping hallway.
Beetleborgs might as well be a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Like, that one I will give you.
Wait a second.
This one's a little different. So, anyway, I do have a couple of pieces of Morphac Nominal to talk about, if we can do that now.
I like you've turned it into a noun.
Yeah. Shut up. I'll do what I want. You can't stop me. First one. This was actually brought to my attention by our buddy Eric, previous guest. Who pointed out to me that, so you guys know, well, you probably should, you guys, as in my co-hosts and also the listeners, know what the outside of the command center looks like, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's a real place, which I never considered.
No,
I thought it was like somebody made it in a seat, like shitty CG, like, what was that old, like, the drawing software that you could get on Windows to make mirrory balls? And, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, the bad early CG stuff.
Trapper Keepers?
Not Trapper Keepers, though I kind of see where you're going with that. Anyway, Corel Draw. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real place. It's called the House of Book. And it is a building on the Brandeis Barden campus, which is a Jewish learning institute that still exists, and you can still go there.
Okay. So Zordon's a Jewish librarian.
So this means that both Zed and Zordon are Jewish. So.
Oh man, do you think they're from different families and like there's an old tribal conflict?
I don't know.
Now hold on a second. That building is not canonically part of a Jewish university.
No, that's true. You're right. That's factual.
That's like trying to say that the Jim and Juice Bar is literally the inside of whatever office building the editors worked at that they hung a sign in front of one day to shoot a bunch of establishment shots.
Fair enough. I will say that the cool thing about this is that it is now mostly used, for like youth groups, summer school or summer camp stuff for young Jewish kids, which means that I would imagine there's at least one kid like every year who goes, wait, hold on, what?
wait a second. Are you suggesting that children today recognize the Zordon Command Center from the 90s.
Yeah, because all children are
because of
interested
this podcast.
In exactly the same things that I was when I was a
child. Even if they were into Power Rangers, they're going to be into the new Power Rangers.
I'm going to tell you that I just didn't think about it that hard. You should shut up.
I thought where you were going with that building is almost assuredly constantly full of teenagers with attitude.
That's true, yeah.
Here's the thing.
I'm trying to think of a Jewish pun of, like, teenagers with something, but nothing's coming to me.
I will say that the interior, so that entire, complex, the Brandeis Barden Institute, is actually used for a lot of filming. It's been in a bunch of different stuff. The interior of the House of Book was the Rock and Roll History Museum and Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
Which is pretty cool.
They had the Guitar Way to Heaven because they couldn't actually just use, they couldn't even use the name Stairway to Heaven.
Yes.
I believe that's correct. I think we have here, like, the only...
Go ahead.
Good job. I was going to say, I think we have here the only, I think, three people that saw Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny.
I love that movie, but...
I fucking love that movie. That movie,
that movie has a car chase scene where they set it up that the two of them are driving, like a student driver vehicle with the brakes on the passenger side, just so they can have Jack Black dramatically hit the other brakes during the car chase.
Yes.
It's so gloriously dumb.
I just linked something in our Skype chat that I don't understand, because I was looking for Hanna-Barbera Power Rangers, hoping someone had done fan art in that style. And what I got instead was somebody took, like, the ending credits... and edited in the Hanna-Barbera, like, splash screen from their ending credits stuff. And I don't understand why.
And also they drew a Power Rangers logo in MS Paint.
Oh, yes. Jesus. Oh, Christ.
Wow, this video footage is, like...
I don't know if you know this, but if
turning Power Rangers into, like, a Hanna-Barbera production, like, in a YouTube video is a clever idea that someone with skill could do a lot with. This person put in no effort.
But that makes it more appropriate, though, because it's like, fuck.
That is truer to the Hanna-Barbera, like, ethos.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar enough with the Hanna-Barbera credit style for this to really have much impact on me. I guess I didn't recall
that they did. I think it's just also so shitty it can't possibly have
impact on
you.
It's so muddy and blurry. There's no.
Yeah. This person, yeah, like I don't know.
I don't understand what the point was.
Well, because someone was bored. I don't know. Type two things into YouTube and you'll find a bad mashup.
Okay,
of
give me two things. I'm gonna try this.
Oh no,
man.
Okay, here, Mike, give me one word.
Okay, Smurf.
Smurf. Okay, and Zach, give me another word.
And it can't be porn.
No. Okay.
Gundam.
Yes, Smurf Gundam.
Smurf
there
Gundam.
You go.
Here we go.
Graham, you are way better at coming up with a word off the cuff than Zach is, apparently.
For some reason,
June 1st, 2012, Gundam EXVS ranked Smurf match number one.
Okay, here's the problem that we're running into is that Smurf is a slang term for like an account. In a video game that is level one after you're already
ready. Oh, okay, let's try this again then. Joel, give me a word.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Name a word.
Name a word?
Yeah.
Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Well, name a word. Technically, that's correct.
Monkey. All right, monkey. Now, Zach, Graham gave the last one, so I'm going back to you. Give me one.
Be topical. Go with Street Fighter.
No. Monkey.
Don't think about monkey. Just think of
just a word.
Just a word. We gotta test this theory.
Sandwich.
Sandwich. Okay. Monkey
Zach,
sandwich.
Zach, I hope when you edit this later, you increase the length of the pauses. Just a minute of silence.
This whole segment is not making
the fucking
it into
Jeopardy
the podcast.
Theme in there.
I've got a film trailer for the movie Monkey Sandwich.
See? I told you. I was right.
I want you guys to know that I put in Monkey Gundam, and I got a result of that boss fight from Star Fox 64 from Sector Y, the mechs you fight that look kind of like Monkey Gundam.
Oh, that is a Monkey Gundam.
That is a Monkey Gundam.
Zach, I need you to edit in audio from this Monkey Sandwich film trailer.
I'm watching the Monkey Sandwich.
They're like at a like AA meeting or something, and they just like dug a pig out of a sheet. And now, that's some weird sex happening.
Yeah, there's definitely some, like, sexual assault happening in this film trailer.
But it's like,
so,
like, there's people standing around coaching the two of them? I think it might be, like, acting class?
I don't know. I'm so, for God's sakes, talk.
So, Zach, what's your other Power Rangers fact for today?
Yes, I'm sorry.
We aren't talking about Power Rangers. What are you talking about?
Watching them live on air. That's the best podcasting ever.
I have so lost the plot.
I was a part of this and I'm sorry for it.
We're not even to the fucking episode yet.
No. Yeah. Anyway, let's just get to it. So, here's the other thing. I was in an attempt to to try to buy Luke a red question mark beret because he loves it so much.
I do love it.
I was searching to see if I could find a replica of Skull's beret on, like, I don't know, Etsy. That seems the, like, the most likely place.
Right.
And I could not find that, but what I did find was a YouTube video of Jason Narvi at a convention, and someone handed him a red beret and basically was asking, like, is this one of the ones from the show? And you can find this if you just go on YouTube and search Jason Narvi's Skull beret. And he says, like, yeah, this
Let's
is from
do
the
that
prop
now, live on air.
Yeah, this is from the prop department, and he there's a little circle of the paper circle of the question mark on the front of it, and he hands it to Paul Schreier, who lifts the circle up and, like, gasps and goes, like, oh, there's nothing under there, don't worry about it. But yeah, this is definitely one of the real berets, and then hands it back to the people who asked about it. And I was like, wait. Like, I saw this and I was like, wait, what the fuck's under there? Like, I got really curious. And someone, I don't remember who it was. I'm sorry. I'll try to find out and put it in the podcast notes. Someone linked me to an Imgur post, which, like, listen, I know Imgur is not, like,
hey, that's where we go for news, man. That's where it happens.
It's not, like, the most reliable source. Who posted a picture of a beret that looks very much like Skull's beret, except that in the little black outlined square in the white circle is an SS logo, like the Nazi SS.
Like the double Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
Which
and the
maybe is just double Power Rangers? Wait.
Yeah,
well, wait
for
a
when
second.
They double morph.
Wait
it's
a
for when they double morph.
Hold
Remember?
On. Are the double Power Rangers morphing? Nazis?
No. Though there is that gif of them all, like, doing the hand motion that's a little questionable.
Wait, is this entire thing just neo-Nazi propaganda? Let's not go on a tangent
about white supremacism.
Guys,
Zordon's clearly, like, a bluish green. It's bluish green supremacy.
Guys, I am normally willing to allow this thing to go down any fucking random tangent to discuss basically any topic. We are not going down the road of neo-Nazi Power Rangers. That is not happening. I'm putting my foot down.
We're not doing that.
No,
but I just want to
responsible for this one.
So anyway, the claim on this Imgur post is that there were a bunch of these berets that the head of the prop department got from a friend who was in a band that was maybe a Nazi skinhead band, maybe sort of, kind of, and that they just went ahead and put that circle with the question mark over the beret, which was intended to symbolize that he was a clueless bully, which is correct. So that part is accurate. So yeah, I don't know if that's true, but, like, with these two things together, it seems, I don't know, like, at least plausible. It is weird that I was, like, they definitely made it, because you can't find these anywhere, even on, like, eBay. So,
Enjoy the segment of Morph rumor mongering nominal.
Listen, it was really interesting, and it came about because I was trying to fucking buy one of these. So, I guess don't go after, like, a replica of Skull Spray. That would maybe be a bad idea. but yeah, I don't know. It's just a really weird thing that may or may not be true, but also, like, led me to believe that maybe one of the most interesting interviews that you could get would be like the prop head or the wardrobe guy and not necessarily somebody who was on the set. Like, I would love.
All right, Zach, start tracking him down. See if we can get him on the show.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before, but I would love to talk to wardrobe guy.
See, and for me, like, I want to talk to a screenwriter.
Well, okay, yes, that also.
Like, but I want to understand personally how little of a shit they gave.
I don't know, man. After watching some of those Zooranger episodes, I think that they were handed a task that they went, oh no.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think it's equally likely. That's why I'm so curious. Were they, like, passionate about this project and just doing the best with what they had?
Like,
or
were
they just a bunch of cigar chomping executives that are like, yeah, just write whatever shit, the kids lead it up.
Fair enough. So there's our two like weird facts that don't really tell us anything, but I thought
and that may not actually be facts.
Yeah, one exactly. of them is maybe complete bullshit. Who knows?
Yeah.
So there you go. That's it, I guess, for that. And let's see. Yeah, fucking. Oh my god, we're at 30 minutes because of this stupid.
I can't take a break.
I don't think this episode's actually going to take that long, though.
Let's take a quick break and we'll start the episode.
Fuck you, Hanna Barbera.
So during the break, I noticed on my Facebook that my girlfriend has sent me a large list of two words that we could put together into YouTube, including taco lightsaber, Gundam washing machine, and okay. Smurf Undertaker, which is kind of terrifying.
Taco lightsaber, let's start there.
God damn it.
Okay, Olivia Diaries, day 5, Taco Bell and lightsaber battles.
All right, that works.
Gundam washing machine, that was the next one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's see what happens there.
This is just going to be the podcast now.
Yeah.
It's our new format.
Washing machine brick bouncing on trampoline. Hold on.
Oh, what? I've seen that. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, no, it's just like a washing machine that's like thrashing around on a trampoline.
What does that have to do with Gundams?
I don't know, but it came up.
All right. Well, anyway, well, let's
clearly
put
putting
the episode.
A brick inside a washing machine is the key to building like a Gundam engine somehow.
Yeah.
This yeah. First time.
Is that like the secret to perpetual motion?
Yeah.
You put a brick inside a washing machine.
Put a brick in a washing machine. All right. So
wait. That is the last thing I wanted to say. There's annotation at the end of this video. It says, "For more bricks and washing machines, click here."
Well, I mean, that's how you get ahead on the internet. You find your niche.
What a weird fucking... Like, okay, sure. Anyway, so, moving on. We are on episode 33 of season 1, The Yolks on You. Oh, boy.
Which, at the very least, is one of the best titles so far.
Well... Best in, like, scare quotes.
No,
yes,
no,
totally.
No air quotes here, man. This is fantastic title.
So, we are, once again confronted with trying to understand. So this is at the school, except it's totally not. This is the Gem and Juice Bar room.
Yeah.
But the exterior shot is of the school.
The Gym and Juice Bar is wherever it needs to be at any given moment.
The constant tears between the real world and the morphing grid are starting to cause world to collapse in on itself.
I don't know, Cram. At this point, like, this is not where it's supposed to be. Like, you're right. Like, this is the juice bar, except it's not. It's in the school now. And I don't understand what's happening.
I'm going to say renovated. The actual answer is repurposing sets.
Oh, well, sure, but
it was just somebody made a mistake on editing in the establishing show.
No,
well, no, because this is a talent show thing.
It's a school talent show.
It's at the stage that they did the horrible Rumpelstiltskin play.
Yeah,
that was also at the Gym and Juice Bar.
I don't think it was.
We talked about
was.
That at the on that,
that
episode.
That
was
at the Gym and Juice Bar, but the establishing shot was of the Gym and Juice Bar. I think this is the first time where they literally just didn't remember that they were two different places.
I can believe that the Gym and Juice Bar is like publicly owned and the school just holds a lot of its functions there because they don't have like an auditorium or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's not uncommon to use a community center of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the outside shot is literally of the fucking school.
Well, I'll give you that. Somebody screwed up.
Yeah, no, I mean, the world is collapsing in on itself.
Yeah. So Tommy and Jason walk up to Mr.
Hold on,
Kaplan.
Hold on. I don't want to miss this. We've got I love these fucking 90s, like, posters you'd see in a school posters that we get in the background sometimes. And, in the first shot after the establishing shot, it's Jason, kind of walking into the place, and there's a big, "The Dangers of Alcohol" poster
yes,
on the wall.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I
and
love
it's got
it.
A picture of, like, a margarita glass and a beer bottle and a no sign over it. But yeah, so they first of all, they open the shot by like having a very long handshake. I don't know what to call that exactly. It's like the same motion where you would go to then like half hug your friend, except
yeah,
that they don't do that part. They just hold hands
right.
for like a really long time. And then they walk up to Mr. Kaplan, who they call Mr. C.
So,
and
what is happening with this person's clothing?
Mr. Kaplan's?
Yeah.
He's
wearing
in the 90s. That's what is happening with his clothing.
Well, yes, but also he's wearing a shirt that super doesn't fit with a suit jacket that super doesn't
fit. Nothing fit in the 90s, Zach. Not a single thing.
But also,
fit.
It's like a blue plaid shirt with like a... like a Phoenix Wright ass suit jacket over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the suit jacket goes like almost to his knees.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the plaid shirt like also super doesn't fit because it's coming out like over his belt.
It's a double breasted suit jacket worn open, which is the sloppiest look
yes.
you can rock.
Like, Kaplan's actor never quite looks comfortable or like like he never looks like he's where he's supposed to be.
It's almost like he's somebody's fucking uncle and that they didn't have any clothes that fitted him. So they just threw on whatever they
I'm
had.
I'm sorry,
like,
did you say they didn't have any clothes that fitted him?
How about you eat a dick?
That's my boy, Zach.
Now, I'm sorry. Anyway, moving on. I was trying to think of a way to frame that wasn't like slightly offensive in that I was suggesting that giving fellatio was a punishment because I don't believe that.
I think
but
having
also,
to eat a dick is different though.
That's true.
That
you
sounds
really
like
don't
a
want to do that.
No,
like,
I'm
imagining just like a dismembered penis just on a plate and you give me a fork and knife
I'll
and
bet
just
you,
stand
bet
back
you
with your arms crossed.
I'll bet you somewhere animal penis is a delicacy.
Okay,
oh,
so
definitely.
Rocky Mountain oysters
okay,
is a
so
thing.
Okay, so genuinely,
so.
If you're worried about homophobia, but you still are like me and you like the phrase eat a dick, you have to specify like a rotten bull dick.
No, I don't want to do that. That's gross.
Yeah, yeah
hey,
but that's
let's talk about Power Rangers.
Guys.
We are!
I don't, like, I love this tangent. I do. But I really want to get to this shot of all the random people practicing for their
yeah,
acts for the talent show.
So the
show.
Shot for the talent show. First of all, Mr. Kaplan says, yes, it's going to be a great show of talent. And then they show the room, and boy.
There's a guy going by on a unicycle.
Uh-huh.
There's a lady doing cartwheels. There's a guy, like, literally holding a skull and doing the Alas Poor Yorick thing.
There's
a shitty magician. There's a lady with a ukulele, like.
The lady doing cartwheels is also wearing, like, the feet from a shitty dragon mascot costume for no reason.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I don't know how that fits into the act, but she is. The lady with the ukulele has, like, a crappy witch, bedazzled witch hat.
It's a straw hat.
No, it's not, is it?
Yeah, it's all, like, frayed on the brim.
Fuck, you're right. Okay, never mind.
I do like the idea of Bedazzled as a, like, sequel to Bewitched.
Well, no, Bedazzled is a movie. It's a different movie. It's got Brendan Fraser in it.
Well, no, that's actually a remake of an older movie as well.
Yes.
There's
two Bedazzleds.
Great.
Yeah.
Eat it twice. How about that?
Is Bedazzled a good movie?
No.
The original is.
Brendan
Fraser
said it had
so
Brendan
much.
Fraser in it.
Listen, I don't want to hear any fucking bad talking of Brendan Fraser in this podcast.
No, I got nothing against the guy, but like, the dude's been in some shitty movies.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, for
sure. Two words, monkey bone.
Yeah, okay.
What the fuck is monkey bone?
Hold on,
Why? Which
movie do you think is better, monkey bone or monkey sandwich?
Having only seen 30 seconds of monkey sandwich...
I'm going to go with Monkey Sandwich. Having not seen any of Monkey Sandwich, because I didn't watch the trailer, I'm going with Monkey Sandwich. My little sister and I, because we didn't know better, and it looked like it was some kind of fucking, I don't know, second-tier Tim Burton movie or whatever the fuck. We went to see Monkey Bone in the theater because the two of us were bored. We were the only ones in the theater, and as the film got going, we realized why.
Matt, Monkey Bone is like a bad Tim Burton movie crossed with a bad version of Roger Rabbit.
Hi, basically. I'm Luke. Welcome to the Purgatory Podcast. It never ends.
Yeah. Also, this is awful. We're
like,
so
I'm sorry.
This
just
episode's
one last
be
thing.
6 hours long.
Like, I'm sorry. I want to just say just two more very tiny things about Monkey Bone.
Okay, good.
Whoopi Goldberg is the ruler of the afterlife, basically.
Okay,
so she's just reprising her character from Star Trek.
Basically, but also there is a major plot point that comes up like right at the very end of the film in which Chris Kattan plays a corpse.
Okay.
So Chris Kattan plays himself.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
He plays his career.
He fights Brendan Fraser by ripping out his own organs and
that was good, that. Jack. I like that.
Thank you. So let's move on.
We cut to the moon.
No, do we?
I don't know. At some point, very soon, yeah.
That's usually what happens, but...
Oh, you're right.
We're
I'm
about
sorry.
To, we skipped. We can't get ahead of schedule.
Some shit with Tommy.
So first they ask Ernie how everything's going, and he says, fine, except we're having trouble keeping track of everyone's props.
Oh, not to slow us down again, but I love how, like, I love Tommy kind of sucking up to Mr. Kaplan here.
Oh,
he's like,
yeah.
This is a really good idea, Mr. Kaplan. Great job thinking of it.
Listen, yes. Tommy just wants to be loved.
He really
doesn't matter who it's by. Tommy says, speaking of props, Jace, I forgot our belts. And then Tommy's like, or Jason's like, no, it's not a problem. And Tommy's like, no, but we have to have them. It's really important. And he runs off, because the plot demands it.
Also, for some reason in the background, there's like a racist cartoon of a snake charmer. This sounds like I'm just trying to derail us again, but that's actually there.
No, and real quick, I want to point out that, Kimberly and Trini are dressed normally.
Yes.
Billy is wearing a straw hat.
Like a cowboy hat.
And I think he's wearing cowboy boots, and he is dressed. Yeah, he has a old timey. He has an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, that
grandpa's guitar.
Old timey analog guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got like a paisley shirt.
Yep.
So.
He's basically dressed like, like a shitty early 90s country star.
Does Billy play guitar?
He's doing the Garth Brooks
skill we've seen him
it's
display?
Weird. Okay, here's the fucked up thing. So clearly the reason he has this costume and this guitar is because he's also going to compete in like the talent show.
They never show it, though.
They never pay it off. Billy never performs. I want to see David Yost perform a country song.
I would watch that.
I want to see most people perform a country song. I'd be down for most people.
I really
on the
wish
show
that
too.
Also there's a random sousaphone.
Yeah.
Just lying on the stage.
I wish that like we need to like save Mitch's life so that he owes us like a debt for like the rest of his life so that we can just make him make all these songs.
A life debt. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Because we need the Angel Grove fight song and now we need David Yost country jamboree.
Oh my god,
the life debt thing is such fucking bullshit. It only exists in fiction. Oh my god, I hate life debt plot points so
no,
much.
No, this is fine. So what you're saying is that you need me to engineer a situation where you can save him from grave danger, yeah?
Can you cut the brakes on his car, and then to go over the cliff, I can, like, sideswipe him to knock him, like, on the other way?
Okay, I'm gonna stop this tangent at suggestion of hiring Matt as a hitman, and we're gonna keep going.
You're not a hitman if you're not actually carrying out the hit.
I have a balaclava and a machete. I can do a decent serial killer impression.
What do you think the odds are that Billy's sad country song is gonna make a pun on being blue?
100% absolute certainty.
Also, in what world is trying to kill someone a serial killer impression?
I wasn't actually going to do it. We need him to write the songs.
Yeah, exactly. We just need to make
besides,
him
you can't kill
his life
one guy
in danger,
the
so we can rescue
wait,
him.
So do you think if you got arrested for attempted murder, you could be like, no. I was doing an impression of a murderer.
I'm murder cosplay.
No, I'm willing to go in the can for
murder
this.
Cosplay.
I'll take one for the team, assuming we get sweet ass theme songs out of it. Fuck.
Yeah, okay.
Alright, we cut to the moon and Finster is looking in his book and he's like, oh yes, good, yes, more fangs, and just like kind of talking yeah, to himself.
Okay, wait, so there's like a can of his like table of like work in progress creatures. Am I crazy or is the one on the left the Tiger Zord?
No, it's just a tiger. Yeah, it's just
I don't know, it looks awful squared off to just be a tiger.
We've definitely seen this shot before, though. Like, a V.
Yeah, no,
this
shot's been in since, like, the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But we see Finster clearly working on the Pudgy Pig.
Yes.
Which I think is, like, the second or third time we've seen footage of Finster working on a monster that was a monster we've already seen and is not the monster from this episode.
You gotta refine that stuff, man. Like, you know, art...
Yeah, I just don't think they have a lot of footage of Polyprechaun, like, working on stuff.
Yeah. I want to point out that Rita didn't ask for this monster, like...
Literally one episode after she yells at everyone to never try and make a monster without her again, we see Finster working on a monster.
True, I forgot that happened.
Yeah, but it's
wait,
her
did
her
they
birthday.
Recycle that plot point last episode? They've already done that episode with the turtle.
But no, but last episode she explicitly said, don't ever try to do this without me.
Right, but I'm saying they wrote two separate plots where that's what the henchmen do.
Because now
Finster's doing it for Rita's birthday, I guess.
Last week was worse because Rita literally said she was sick and didn't feel like it and told Goldar to do it instead.
Oh, yeah. Geez. So.
And then yelled at him for carrying out her instructions.
Yes. Now, at this point, we cut back down to the planet, and there's a weird fish monster with a bunch of teeth, and he's doing an impression of...
It's Peter Lorre. I was gonna say it's Peter Lorre by way of Cheech Marin.
I really stopped watching these episodes muted.
I couldn't nail down what that other element was, but it's absolutely Cheech Marin. That's exactly
what it is.
You should give a hot second of his vocals because they're terrible. and he's going to say a lot. He actually is very talkative for one of Rita's monsters.
Yeah.
Although like 50% of his dialogue is just him going, eggs.
Yes, that is accurate. So we cut back to the, wherever this is, the gym and cheese part of the school, I don't know still.
Purgatory.
Purgatory. And behind the curtain that the Rangers are sitting in front of, up walks Bulk and Skull. Uh-huh. Skull is wearing, they're actually both in outfits we haven't seen before. We'll do Skull's first because it's easier to explain. Skull is wearing tight purple pants with bones on them. And then like a gray coat with a bunch of chains on it and a spiked collar. The one thing I want to point out is he has sunglass monocle.
It's pretty great.
He has a pair of glasses that are glasses in one lens and sunglasses in the other.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
The resolution of this on Netflix is bad enough that instills you cannot see the glasses section.
It's eyeglasses. Wow. It's just that it's only one half of it is sunglasses.
What the fuck?
It's like transition lenses, only you have to manually transition by closing one eye.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like how pirates would wear an eye patch so they could go below deck and then take the eye patch off and see in the dark.
Yep.
I have seen, you remember there was the one of the minor villains at the end of Casino Royale only had one eye and he had the sunglass lens on one side.
Yeah, but he only had one eye. Like, that makes...
I know. But, like, I'm saying it's a thing that people have worn.
Well, okay.
I mean, he might as well be wearing an eye patch, but...
Did Jason Narvi have, like, a bad injury before filming this episode?
Oh, maybe. Maybe it's just his pink eye.
I don't know. Maybe this is just what they thought punks wore. Like,
to be fair, this is not them in just their street clothes. This is, like, their costume for the talent show.
Yes, that's
true. He looks like an anime villain.
Yes.
And B,
or a steampunk cosplayer.
The particular shade of gray of that coat and the rather military cut of it brings to mind that whole SS thing we were talking about.
Oh, God damn it. All right. So Bulk's outfit, what is that hat?
It's just like a beanie.
It looks almost like a swimming cap stretched over his
it's like a knit ginormous cap. It's just like loose. It's like big.
Yeah, it's very big and loose and floppy. It's just
Also, this is one of the only times that I can remember that Skull doesn't have, or I'm sorry, Bulk doesn't have his ponytail.
Yeah.
Dude has a lot of hair. Yeah. Like, I kind of didn't notice that before.
He's got, with the hair and the shirt that's kind of open, he's got almost a meatloaf look going on.
Yeah. He's wearing fingerless gloves. Like, he does kind of look like Meatloaf.
And, like, a black suit jacket over, like, I don't know, like a purple Hawaiian shirt, and gold chains.
It's a mess. It's and, like, really
bad. His shirt's like unbuttoned pretty far down. Like you get a lot of the chest hair.
Now also, Skull or Bulk walks up to, and I rewound this three times to make sure I had not missed a plot point because Bulk walks up to a basket with eggs in it and says, Skull, I found the eggs.
Yeah, and I rewound here as well. I went back and rewatched this, not rewound, and like because I swore, because I was sync watching this with Mike, and I swore I fucking missed something.
No! Yep. No!
No!
No, this is the Power Rangers' idea of foreshadowing.
No, it cuts to them and says, I smell boiled eggs. Skull, I found the eggs.
Yeah, and it's like, wait, what? Okay.
Why are these basket here? Why are they on an egg? Why are they on an egg adventure?
Yeah.
These eggs, like the episode fucking spoiler warning is about eggs and stuff.
But not these ones.
Yeah, not these ones. These eggs never come up again.
You know?
No,
so,
this is literally, go ahead.
We talked before, The Yolks on You is a really good name for this episode. I think I have a better one though, Bulk and Skull's Egg-cellent Adventure.
Okay.
If this had actually been about their egg adventure, yes.
So this is literally like the beginning of a James Bond movie where it's just like, and then he shot some people and you go, wait, but why? And,
because it's fun and it sets the tone of a James Bond movie. This is for no good goddamn reason.
I mean, it made me laugh, but I don't think for the reasons that they intended.
I'm not sure that's fair, actually, because like Bulk and Skull are very clearly like, the designated comedic pratfall guy.
Yeah, but why are there eggs? Why are there eggs?
I don't fucking know. Why are you asking me? Jesus.
Why are there eggs? Why does Bulk have such a huge hat? And why is Bulk wearing so many fucking bracelets?
I don't know. So Mr. Kaplan comes up and they're like, what are you gentlemen doing back here? And Bulk is like, I was looking for my guitar. And Skull says, yeah, he likes to check his instruments before he performs. Okay, fine. Why are you here, Skull? At which point, I, for a hot second, wanted Skull to, like, look deep within himself and be like, why do I always follow Bulk around?
That's the way you went. I went the opposite way, which was like, because I'm his fucking friend. Leave me alone.
honestly, why does he just say, I'm with him? Like,
He
could have just, he should have done his whole repeating everything Bulk says and does and just been like, because I'm looking for Bulk's guitar.
It's a free country, Mr. Kaplan.
I just looked. I was just really hoping he was going to be like, huh, why am I back here?
Well, but the thing is, he wouldn't have that introspection because the real reason he's back there is obvious. It's to get them eggs.
Yeah, well, that's true, yes. It's because it does eggs.
I feel like describing this scene, it sounds like we're making it up.
Well, that's because it doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's just, meanwhile, here's a basket of eggs.
I like to think our stupid, inexplicable bits are more comprehensible than this.
So anyway,
Speaking of things that make no sense.
Yeah, so instead of that, he says, and then he bends over and picks up some cymbals and says, I was just checking my cymbals, Mr. C.
No, he spits this line out. It's amazing.
And then he crashes the cymbals. Crashes?
Well, the second he reaches for him, Bulk is like shaking. So like, no, dude, no, don't. Oh my god, dude, no, no, no.
And he hits them together, and it causes the other two to be affected as if they were standing next to a 10 megaton explosion.
Yes.
And they, like, shake.
And Mr. Kaplan's wig comes off because every time he appears in an episode, his wig has to come
off. His wig comes off because it was on a string and someone yanked on it when the symbols got hit.
Symbols are loud, but I don't think that they, like, cause your internal, like, organs
if you hit the symbols at the right frequency, the entire human body will resonate at that sympathetic frequency.
Joel, are you saying that Skull just hit the brown note and that they just pooped themselves?
Essentially, yes.
I did not even realize until you guys pointed out that his toupee comes off. I just wasn't even paying attention.
His toupee always comes off.
I have a theory.
Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. I'll take mine after.
So here's another alternative to the morphing grid theory.
Okay.
The world of Power Rangers literally actually operates on cartoon physics.
I was actually thinking that earlier.
Yeah.
I don't just mean this is a cartoony show because it's a kid show. No, these people live in a cursed world that is controlled and dictated by cartoon physics.
We just need to hope that there's a scene where Bulk and Skull run off a cliff, don't realize they've left the cliff, and hang out in midair until they realize
they're
no longer.
Did you guys ever watch Tiny Toons?
Yeah.
There was a whole thing where they start that episode with Elmer Fudd teaching them a lesson about, like, yeah, you could totally walk off a cliff and stay in midair as long as you don't look down. And
right. Tiny Toons, if the listener has never seen it, is a show about the, like, a Descendants or nope. I guess they weren't directly related.
No, they
related,
were not. Because the old Looney Tunes were the teachers at their high school.
Yeah, so it was essentially like younger versions of all the Looney Tunes.
Who wanted to be cartoon characters when they grew up.
Right, and they were learning about, like, cartoon, you know, like, how to be funny. But also, there's an episode that describes cartoon physics, which essentially explains that if you are a cartoon, you are not affected by physics until you understand, like, your situation.
Right.
So they can, on purpose, walk off of cliffs as long as they don't look down, basically.
Yeah.
So,
the whole thing, because, like, toward the end of the episode, like, the characters, they have this impassable chasm that they have to cross. They're like,
remember
what Professor Fudd told us at the start. Just don't look down. And they just walk through the air.
So I would fucking love Bulk and Skull. We've talked before about how, like, Bulk and Skull sometimes seem aware of their situation like, secondary characters. I would love if they realized, like, if Bulk harnessed his cake magnetism somehow.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, well, I guess I'm just gonna go work at a soup kitchen.
You basically want Groundhog Day, but instead of repeating the same day over and over, it's always falling into a cake.
Yeah.
So, like, he calls the girl that he's in love with over, and he's like, watch this, and he just throws himself on the ground, and there's a cake there.
I want to see an episode of this show that focuses entirely on Bulk and Skull going through their day with the Ranger stuff happening just in the background on the peripheral. And it's just,
I think
them,
we've talked,
like,
about that specifically before.
Yeah.
Like that episode of the Venture Brothers where henchmen 21 and 24 are with a brand new henchman who's all gung ho. And because 21 and 24 have been through everything, they know all the tropes already.
Yep,
they're like, oh no,
we've referenced that specific episode before.
Yes, we have.
Speaking of inexplicable repeating references, I've decided that instead of doing it accidentally now, I have resolved to make an organic reference to Mr. Mixleplicket in every episode I'm in.
God damn it, I was so...
I'm going to find a way to make it an analogy in every episode.
Okay,
well, this episode's covered.
Good luck.
Yeah, that one's done for this one.
No, just saying I'm going to reference it doesn't count. You have to figure out a way to work it out.
Because mentioning it came up organically.
Okay.
Oh, that's
anyway,
bullshit.
Anyway, so yeah, I would love, like Bulk just knows that he can leap off a building and there will just be a giant cake at the bottom and he'll be fine. And he uses it to, I don't know, fight crime or something. Yeah. I feel like, though,
as soon as they become self-aware, like, it stops working.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the curse.
It's one of those things where the universe hates them, and as soon as they realize that they can, you know, manipulate this curse to their advantage, it's going to find new ways to torment them.
Right.
Sure. So, that's the end of that scene. We don't get any explanation for the eggs at all. Rita asks who made the monster without her authorization, and Finster doesn't even tell her he did it.
Nope.
She just assumes Finster knows that it's her birthday and that he made it as a present.
Well, she told him earlier is what he said.
Okay.
She does it through process of elimination. Like, first Squad and Babu are like, well, we didn't do it this time. And then Golder's like, well, we didn't do it this time. And she's just like, well, Scorpina's not around, so by process of elimination, it must have been Finster.
Which is funny,
a really
because...
advanced thought for Rita.
And yeah. Also,
can I ask?
Go ahead.
We have this shot of through the telescope of presumably where exactly looking down at a map. He's located.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Have we figured out where this is?
No, but we will shortly.
Okay.
We will very
you know
shortly
I'm talking
in this
about?
Episode.
Yeah, they're gonna tell. It's gonna be more explicit, and we'll talk about it then.
Oh, okay.
But she does send Goldar down to back up the monster. And I just want to point out, I'm pretty sure they've shown that Finster doesn't like Rita very much, so I think that's kind of a leap to assume that that's
what's
going on.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I think Finster does like her. I think it's just that Pleprechaun doesn't like Bandora, and it's just sometimes you get a vibe that's not meant to be there in the Power Rangers version.
Fair enough.
Unresolved sexual tension.
Yeah, Pleprechaun. Pleprechaun really doesn't like Rita. He's a sassy motherfucker.
So now we get my favorite two-second shot of the show so far, which is we cut down to Tommy.
He's running through the woods.
He's running through the woods, and he just goes, "I can't wait. It's going to be so awesome." And then he just jumps up and spin kicks some leaves, and then he keeps running, and they cut away. And it's so fucking good.
Where the fuck is he going?
Listen, we've already talked about this.
He's going to get the belt. Like,
anywhere that you can go from to anywhere you're going in Angel Grove, you have to go through the park.
He's
got to
run from the school/juice bar to get to the juice/school where he left his belt.
You can be next door neighbors, and you'd still have to go through the park
also,
to get to your neighbor's
house. I just want to point out, he's definitely got his belt on.
Yeah, he totally does. You're 100% correct.
So wait, did he have it on in the first scene?
No, in the first scene he didn't have it. And
okay,
so
then their shirt back then. That's
their
fine.
Shirts were open. Oh
okay.
Yeah, it must be. He's coming
okay,
back.
That makes
yeah,
sense.
Okay.
So
all
Zach,
right.
is the park like some sort of like weird Hammer Space hub world or
the
like...
park is like and regardless
it's
of whether you buy into
nowhere.
The yeah. if you regardless of whether you buy into the Morphin Grid theory, the park is like it's infinite, right?
I like to think of the park as that desert in Beetlejuice when they try and leave the house.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. It's just yeah.
Wait, so like park worms are gonna show up?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. But I just love the idea that like when Tommy goes anywhere he randomly jump kicks things.
Yes.
It's so good. He's just so excited. I love the idea that when Tommy gets excited, he just jump kicks.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah! Like, I like to imagine that it's his birthday, and it's the pinata time, and they put the thing on his face. And he goes, all right! And he jump kicks the pinata, and then they hand him the stick, and he's sad. Because he already did it.
He is supposed to be the cool kid. He is a bigger dweeb than Billy.
Oh, yeah, he's a total dorko. Like, yes, absolutely. So,
like,
now
at least it's nice to see him super excited, because I know we keep joking about socially awkward Tommy.
Yeah.
Like, but he's so enthused.
I do I enjoy, like, sad socially awkward Tommy, because it's funny, but
right.
I think I like excited socially awkward
right,
Tommy
because
more.
Right, this is still social awkwardness. Like, as someone who has also been socially awkward for most of my life... When you don't have a lot of social interaction, you're not used to thinking about, like, what you're doing with your body and how other people, like, are perceiving it. So
yeah,
you're just,
totally.
Like,
when
playing with your hands or whatever, and the thing, like, oh, that person just watched me, like, sniff my hand. That's weird.
It's a level of, like, lack of self-awareness that you normally see in, like, four-year-olds.
When my girlfriend first moved in, I walked into the living room. With my hands up in the air, going whoosh, like I was an airplane.
You see,
because I had lived alone for 5 years, and she just looked at me, and then I was like, "Oh right, I guess I shouldn't do this anymore."
Well, also, Zach, it turns out you're secretly Freakazoid. So,
well, yeah, that's true. But yeah, I can. Yeah, he just hasn't had friends, so he doesn't know that you shouldn't just jump kick out of happiness,
right?
Like, So we cut to the moon, and there's just a very quick, like, Rita talks to Finster.
Yeah.
Tommy could ruin everything, blah, 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 send some putties. Okay.
Because those always work so well.
Yeah,
yep.
Always.
Well,
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen,
true.
Listen, I know.
They do kind of work on Tommy specifically because that's how they can keep him out of the footage.
Even though his whole thing when he was introduced was he had to fight off a huge pack of buddies by himself twice.
Yeah.
He was very, very good at it, and then the Green Ranger stuff happened, and now he's traumatized, and...
Well, in fairness, like, the fighting part of fighting putties is not Tommy's problem. He always gets tricked by the putties, which is very sad.
That's not better!
No, it's actually worse. So anyway, yeah, he fights some putties. It goes pretty well until one of them... Okay, so one of them, like... fucking magician sleight of hands his communicator off his wrist.
Yeah, like these
are fucking pickpockets.
It catches a punch
These were the carny putties.
There you go.
It catches a punch by the wrist, and then he sort of flips him. And when he comes up, the putty's like, "Got your watch."
I don't want to roll us back.
The putty's
here,
like holding it up and taunting him.
Yeah. When the putties first show up, one of them materializes mid cartwheel, and I love it.
Yes, yeah. Like that's how it's like in Mega Man when you go through the gate at the end and you jump.
Yeah,
that's basically the Fincher was like, "We're going to teleport you now," and that putty was like, "Okay," and just started cartwheeling. this is also the first shot. Because it's SD, like, it's really hard to see these details. This is the first time I realized that their communicators are color-coded.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Oh, yeah, they've been like that the whole time.
I always thought they were just gray because you can't fucking tell.
Right.
Like, they're not, it's not good footage. And that's not really, I mean, yo, 480. Like, you can't tell.
Oh, this isn't 480.
Okay, sure.
This isn't 480 anything.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, so that's cool. I just didn't realize that before. It's neat. But also, a putty tricked him out of a fucking communicator, which is super sad.
And then taunted him with it.
Yeah, he holds it up like, "Oh, come get it." And Tommy's like, "Oh, yeah, you want to fucking go?" Like, he tries to taunt back at him.
Nobody calls me chicken.
Show, right?
He doesn't say that, but he does say, like, "You want to play," which is close as you can get.
And then he's like, give it back now, man. Like,
I could use the practice before the show.
His demeanor of when he says, like, "Give it back," is exactly a nerd who's being bullied and is trying to act tough to the bully.
And the putty, like, is acting like a monkey that, like, stole your watch.
Yeah.
I wanna see a scene now between Back to the Future 2 Marty McFly versus these putties. What, you calling me chicken? Nobody calls me chicken.
So the putty runs away, and Tommy follows him. And
it doesn't really run away at first. It kind of slowly waddles away
and then
starts running.
And the putty, he follows it and
he's
caught in a fucking net trap. Like, the putty set up a net trap? Really?
Yeah.
How smart are the putties? I thought the putties were stupid. Like,
just to be clear on the trap, what it is like, there's Tommy winds up like stepping on a net that lifts him into the air.
Yeah it's covered in leaves, but still, like,
yeah,
it's a classic catch an animal in the woods trap.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing: it's not like it's sophisticated. Like, there's not a putty that like yanks on the rope to spring it. Like, you can see something just whip through the leaves. Like, they had a tripwire set up, and it, like, self...
Some kind of pressure pad.
Yeah, like, it self-catches itself once he's up there. Like, they don't have to tie it off or anything.
I thought the putties were not smart enough to do this. Well,
Here's the thing about putties. They get exactly 4 skill points, and these putties just happen to put it into survival.
Okay,
well,
sure.
I was gonna say, I feel like it's more of a natural selection thing. Like, clearly, the fighting putties have all been, like, selected out of the population, so now, like, they're evolving into, like, more clever animals.
Well, because every time they take the like destroyed putty stuff and put it into new putties, it remembers what worked last time, and then they just evolve towards.
Right.
Eventually, putties will be unstoppable.
Putties are the Borg,
right? Or Doomsday from Superman.
Can we talk about the best part about this trap?
Is it the fact that somehow his fucking morpher falls out of his goddamn pocket?
And also no. But we'll start with that.
How does Tommy... I don't understand how he can't fucking keep shit on his person. Like, I feel like if he went to New York, he would have to walk back to fucking,
Angel Grove.
Angel Grove. Oh, yeah, like,
it would be that scene of when Homer Simpson goes to New York and, like, within 20 seconds loses every single thing he has on him.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, it's almost a bulk level curse that he cannot fucking control his own possessions. What were you gonna say that was the best thing about the trap? I'm sorry, I didn't.
No, that was it.
He can't. No, I was gonna say something. The fact that he can't get out of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. He can't figure out how to get. Which is okay. I guess I don't understand quite how they summon their weapons. Maybe because I was gonna say his whole thing is that he has a dagger. You'd think he could get out of it, but I guess he doesn't have.
He's in.
I guess he doesn't have.
But
his
you don't even need it for a net like that. Like it's an open topped net.
Yeah,
you can just like jump out of it.
No,
and immediately start beating your ass.
It has somehow closed up. I'm looking at it now. The top of the net has sort of cinched itself shut.
Yeah, but if he pushed himself to his feet, he could uncinch it.
Yeah, he can push.
You don't know that.
Top of it. He's a human being.
When was the last time you were in a net, Luke?
1999. I was in a hammock recently.
In fairness to Tommy, I think y'all are overestimating how easy it is to get out of a net when you're suspended high up in the air.
Well, I'm sure it's not easy, but I'm not a superhero. So, like,
right now, neither is he. He lost his fucking morpher.
But here's the thing, Mike. As we'll establish later, it takes him a fucking long ass time to get out of this net.
He does get out of it eventually.
He does, but okay.
I love that his response when the putty like grabs his morpher is, "Come on, let me out of here."
Yes, yeah. He's like, "Oh, but
come on, putty, come on, dude, putty,
yeah,
be cool. Come on,
putty, man.
There is a line on the Netflix subtitles that just says putty, and that's all it says. And for a second, I thought that's how they were translating the noise.
So they're Pokemon.
Just putting the word putty.
Oh man,
there.
Could you imagine if that was how the putties talked? Like, just fucking like Pokemon, like,
well,
putty!
Well, they are,
putty,
they
putty,
are,
putty, putty, putty,
they
putty.
Are, it's just, it's the games, not the anime.
Oh, right. We cut to, the Moon Crew.
Yeah.
Who, reminder, they were supposed to go back up the monster.
Well, I forgot to bring this up. Why did Finster put this monster in the middle of fucking nowhere and made it run to civilization?
That's what they always do, and I don't know why. My guess is that...
They don't make such a big point of it running through the woods to get to the city like they do on this one, though.
My guess is that Rita won't let Finster use the telescope. So he doesn't... He just has to guess at the coordinates.
Yeah.
So, literally what happens is Babu is like, I'm hungry. Or I'm sorry, Squat says, I'm hungry. Babu says, I'm a little peckish myself. And then he points and says, look, some eggs. And they just fucking eat these giant eggs.
As was foretold earlier in the episode.
Yes. Where did the eggs come from?
Well, we will find
out
in a minute.
Bird? I mean, I know where they come from.
Do not get ahead of us ourselves.
Do not get ahead of us ourselves,
Graham.
I do love that Goldar is like, what are you fucking idiots doing?
So, just a quick thing. We kind of brought this up before, but because of, like, what this is in the Sentai, these are literally the power eggs.
Yeah, the power eggs from, like, a really early episode, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the power eggs are.
It was a one-off, like, MacGuffin from a really early episode.
Okay.
These are big eggs, and they just eat them. Like, just these giant, like, ostrich or maybe bigger eggs.
It's, like, really gross, because they're like, a physical prop that, like, they have these, like, half eggshells full of just goop that's meant to look like egg yolk.
It's like Nickelodeon Gak, basically.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's Gak. You get to see, like, okay, so you get to see, like, Babu eating it isn't that bad because he's just a dude. Like he has some makeup, but there's not really a mask on Babu. With Squat, you get to see this Gak pour into the gaping maw of the squat of the puppet head.
So
and
really
it is
creepy.
So unsettling.
Yeah. I actually had the reverse reaction. I was okay with the squat one because this, like, egg yolk stuff looks disgusting. And I could be like, oh, that guy's just pouring it into, like, a puppet head, whatever. But then Babu, like, that's that guy's
it's
real
straight
face
up
that
eating
he's pouring it.
It
into.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is gross.
He is literally drinking that shit.
So, at this point, Fang, which is the name of the fish monster.
Yeah.
Which, good name. Good job, guys. runs up and, like, looks pissed off, and Babu and Squat run to hide behind Goldar, and Rita says, looks like Fang is cracking up, and I assume waits then for, like, people to applaud her good, good joke.
Yes.
But they're
like,
not there,
like
so.
5 seconds later, you just hear a, ha, pincer off in the back.
Yeah. So, they hide behind Goldar, and he just runs up, and he's like, how could you? My Goonie Bird eggs! You ate my Goonie Bird eggs! Do you know how hard it is to find these?
You can't buy them in a store, you know!
Yes, and it is the, it's the worst fucking motivation for, like, why did you give the monster a motivation? They're just monsters. You don't have to do this. Just make them go fight.
So here's the other thing. I have to repeat a question from earlier. Why are eggs there? Why are eggs there?
And again, this is supposed to just be in the park.
Where did he find these eggs?
Well, here's the thing. He was literally just created, and he was teleported to a random spot. He somehow managed to get there, hide those eggs there, go back somewhere else,
yes.
And then come back for the eggs.
I don't think he came with the eggs. I think it was like,
No, he says, I wanted these for lunch, which says that he knows they were there.
Right,
and, like,
I'm
he's
saying,
planning
I think he
on
found those eggs, hid them, and then was just running around.
But when? But how?
He's that's what I'm asking.
He's just born.
Wait a second. Hold on. Do you think that Finster packed him a lunch?
Aw, that's so cute.
But he got the coordinates wrong of the airdrop, so he had to haul ass across the park.
And then he found that the bully stole his lunch.
Oh, God. So
I just feel bad for him. Fang is the victim here.
Yeah, that's the thing, is he's really not, like, a bad monster. So anyway,
real quick, round the horn, guys. What do we think a Goonie bird looks like?
Oh, dude, I was just thinking like a dodo bird.
I'm thinking
also,
like
we know that they're a flocking bird because Goonies stick together.
Right. I was gonna say, just imagine
you.
Like
fuck you.
Take Chunk from the Goonies.
I'm out.
Remove his like replace his legs with bird legs. Cut off his arms and replace his head with a bird.
Oh no, I don't want to do that.
Wait, so it's just his torso
yes.
with bird parts?
And every time it moves, it truffle shuffles.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Now, see, I was kind of picturing an inverse of that where it's Dr. Eggman from Sonic Dream Collections, but with Chunk's head.
Oh, good.
I want you guys to know that a Goonie bird is another term for the albatross, but I'm pretty sure they don't lay eggs like that.
No,
wait,
I don't
so
think
it's a
so.
Real term?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, albatrosses are really big, but I don't think they have giant eggs like that, no.
Well, I mean, those are obviously props. Like, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So, anyway.
Wait, what? Props? No.
Sorry. I don't know if you know this. These aren't real.
Yeah,
this is not a documentary, Graham. Were you aware?
What? Come on.
So, speaking of riffs, we cut to Bulk, who is shredding on his electric guitar, and by shredding, I mean playing his own theme song.
Yes. And I wanted to say, we bag on Bulk and Skull's fashion a lot, especially in this episode. For them doing, like, a punk rock number, though, making a guitar strap out of caution tape's kind of cool.
That's
yes,
awesome.
That is
yes.
fucking awesome. That
yeah,
is great.
That's really cool. Yeah, Skull has a guitar strap that's just caution tape.
That's pretty good. They
pretty
did a good job.
Well, Skull often looks like he might actually be at a punk concert.
Yeah.
Like, Bulk is always the one where it's like, what is that hat?
Yeah.
Like, so, Anyway, they're shredding, and in walks Billy, yes, who is now wearing...
Who's completed his ensemble.
Yeah.
A denim cowboy jacket
covered in tassels.
Yes, a tassel fringe, except it's blue.
Yeah.
Because it has to be.
Well, I think it's a denim jacket, isn't it?
I think it's...
No, I'm pretty
sure
it's
something like suede or corduroy.
Yeah, it looks suede, and also it doesn't fit him, because his, you can, like, his fingers kind of barely poke out of the end of the jacket. And I love that they had a blue suede jacket with tassels, but not one that fit the blue ring.
Well, and in this shot, we also get a good close-up of what Zach's wearing, which his pants are crazy 90s, just a bunch of patches of like yellow, green, and orange, whatever. But his shirt, gentlemen, is a black and white drawing of a Rastafarian teddy bear.
Oh, yeah. 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 Again, I am pretty sure at this point that Walter Jones picked his own fucking wardrobe for this show. Because, like, yeah, the Malcolm X t-shirt that he wore earlier and this thing.
He wore a Malcolm X shirt?
Yes. Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah. We didn't realize totally what it was at the time, but yeah. No.
Like, there, you can clearly see the words "by any means necessary" on his shirt.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
So Billy walks in and is like, man, I wonder what's keeping Tommy. And, how exactly does it go? Like, I think some of them kind of start joking
Kimberly,
around.
Kimberly asks if he went to Japan to get the black belts, which is pretty good.
I like that.
But Zach steps back in as the voice of reason, is like, come on. He's obviously in trouble.
Yeah, he's like, well, he left and he's not back, so putties. It's not
like
that
this,
hard.
This has happened to Tommy like 500 times by now.
And Zach, at that point, Zordon realizes that the jig is up, and
that he can no longer prevent them from saving Tommy. Also, like, I want to point out that as they walk into the hallway to answer their communicators, someone does in fact walk past with the sousaphone, so it was not just a random sousaphone.
Well, you know what the famous playwright Chekhov said, if you show a sousaphone in the first act, someone must have
Also, that means that someone's talent, and listen, I played sousaphone in Marching Band, but you know, it's not like a riveting performance is one person with a sousaphone.
Yeah. I mean, I played tuba in the Martian, not the sousaphone, but just like one of the fucking like tuba zookas.
Yeah.
That you put on your shoulder. And like, yeah, I have a lot of pride in having been a tuba player, but if there's an instrument that does not sound good playing a solo, it's a fucking tuba.
I remember in middle school band, we did a concert for like all the parents came in the gym. And at some point, one of the tuba players did a solo rendition of Happy Birthday for her mom. And it was, like, the most uncomfortable 30 seconds.
Yeah, fucking bad. Good
lord. Ba, 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 ba,
ba. Oh, God. Okay. So, they answer the call. And they teleport to the command center. And they'd show the monster on the viewing globe. Zordon claims that Fang just intends to destroy the Earth, which is a lie.
That is not established at any point.
No.
Yeah,
Through the woods gotten sad.
Yeah, he would like to eat Goonie Bird eggs. He does not give a shit about destroying the Earth.
You know, hold up. This is what's weird about Fang's motivations. Finster creates him and sends him to Earth, so presumably he's already under Rita's control and is out to destroy the Power Rangers. But then we end up having this whole weird subplot with the eggs, and I know the reason for that is because in the Sentai they're actually tricking this fucking random monster. But here in Power Rangers it makes no sense, because he's a Rita monster.
Yeah, it's like Rita usually indoctrinates them, but they forgot to do that because Finster made it or something. Like, I don't know what's going on. It's really strange. Because we've seen monsters they didn't make before, and they usually have to talk to them first. Like, the Nasty Knight, they were like, we need you to go do this. Like, he didn't just go fight them. Same with, they had to negotiate with Tickle Sneezer. So it's weird that he just made it and shot it down there and was like, this will go fine. Like, this is good.
So I note that he Zordon shows them the monster on the orb, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, before that, they're like, we need to go help Tommy, because Tommy's still in this net.
And I was like, whoa, wait, no,
Zordon
no,
says,
no.
Tommy can handle his situation.
Yes, they literally ask, shouldn't we help Tommy first? And Zordon says no.
Just for kicks, I watched the previous episode as well, just because I wanted to get back in the Power Rangers mood, which is also not particularly good. But there's they're all encased in that cocoon that Scorpina's little caterpillar thing shoots at them, and Alpha is all worried about them, and Zordon says, they will escape by their own bravery and cleverness. I need you to do this other thing for me. Like, Zordon lately has been real. Yeah, they got it.
Just, not a lately thing. That's an always thing.
Yeah, Zordon does not give a shit about helping the rain. Like, if someone's in trouble, he doesn't care. He's always focused on the monster, which, like, normally I would say that's an okay strategy, except that in Power Rangers, the monster's goal is usually, fuck these rocks in this quarry. So, like... I think usually you could hold off on the monster for at least a little bit.
Yeah, fortunately, no one's ever in the buildings that get destroyed. Like, you're fine, dude.
Like, we've joked about it, but it is mind-boggling. The sheer number of times, like, just about every week, that we get into the situation of, oh no, our friend's in trouble, we should help them. Wait, no, take care of this other thing.
Zordon's a bad leader.
Yeah,
like, he's not good. And also... It's made worse for me because when Zordon's not there, like in the Green Ranger saga, they're like, oh god, we need Zordon. It's like, no, you really don't.
Even though they're way more competent without him.
Yeah. Like Alpha is a more effective leader.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty bad. They morph and teleport down to go fight the monster.
One little touch I love is, I guess to get into their normal positions or whatever, like Jason steps in front of Zack as he's saying it's morphing time, but they don't get to play out the whole shot of them switching places. So it looks like it looks like Austin St. John is just like, you know what? Fuck Walter Jones. You don't get to be in this shot.
Yeah, it does. I didn't notice that. You're right.
I noticed, and I say noticed, but it's impossible not to notice because it takes so fucking long. This episode does the full, like, transform and then teleport to the place, and then every Zord they summon, we do the full fucking film for each.
They were working
everything
hard to fill their time on
forever.
This
yes,
yeah, they had it to stretch is, this one.
There is so much filler in this.
It was like, oh god, we've added all the filler footage we can, and we're still only at 16 minutes. What can we do? Wait a second, I've got an idea. So the monster likes eggs, right? What if we have Bulk also want eggs? Got it. Brilliant. Clutch.
So genius, print it.
The monster says he won't fight them without his Goonie Bird eggs, and Goldar, showing his fucking tactical genius, says, they've got him. And Fang is like, those assholes!
After Fang watched them eat them.
Yeah.
You know there's none left, man. You know you only have the two eggs.
Fang is clearly an Innsmouth monster, and they're super inbred, so, like, he doesn't know much.
I love that,
obviously he's inbred. He's got fangs on his feet.
Yeah, which is not a good place for teeth to be, normally.
I love that, after Goldar is like, hey, go get the Power Rangers and you can have your eggs, Babu goes, yeah, with sprinkles on them.
So, that line made me think...
Uh-huh.
And I'm maybe it's just what time of year it is. Do you think these are just giant Cadbury cream eggs? Because if so, I understand why Fang is so angry.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, they were
not quite Easter
with, like,
season yet,
sugary...
so only a few stores have them in stock. They're kind of hard to find.
Yeah. Like, the quote-unquote Goonie Bird eggs were just filled with, like, a single color, like, green goo.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't, like, a yolk or anything. So, yeah, I could totally buy that these are just, like, cream eggs.
Yeah.
So they fight for a little while, and then, despite the fact that Fang is fighting them, Goldar uses his, like, Goldar has this thing where, like, he'll just be like, oh, I should be doing something, and then he shoots a giant fireball out of his sword and knocks all the Rangers off a cliff, and it's like, well, I guess you could have done that earlier, but, you know, whatever, it's fine.
Better late than never.
Yeah. So
I really like the scene of Fang throwing rocks at them, because they do one of those cuts where it's like basically the same shot multiple times of him like picking up a rock and throwing it. And then they cut over to the Rangers where all the rocks he throws hits them at once.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Babu says, "Hey, Fang, you really know how to rock."
Yeah.
Babu is a superstar in this episode.
Yeah.
He's not even done yet, folks.
So they fall off the cliff. And Fang is like, "Oh no, I'll never get my Goody Bird eggs." And he just runs away. He's like, "Leave me alone."
And there's like a crossfade to him openly weeping on a cliff.
Yeah, he literally starts crying, and Rita walks up and starts laughing at him.
Yes.
And he's like, and she's like, "Do what I say and you'll get your eggs."
Oh,
and
you guys skipped over a tiny, tiny scene, but it's great because Tommy's trying to escape. And it cuts over to the putties who are puzzling over his morpher and his indicator watch.
Yeah.
Like, how does this work?
I just realized, I looked at the upcoming episodes, the green candle starting. This is the last time Tommy's probably going to get trapped by putties.
At least for a while. Yeah.
Because, I mean, once he's the White Ranger, surely they don't have the same footage problems. Right?
True. I mean,
I don't know. No, they have different footage problems at that point.
Yeah.
So she says, like, "Do what I say and I'll get you your eggs." And then she magically repairs the eggs.
Yes.
And then does maybe the shittiest thing that Rita's ever done, which is she then breaks them again.
Well, it's very much like making it clear, like, this is not an act of generosity. Like, only through me are these eggs possible.
Yeah, but boy,
what Rita giveth, Rita taketh away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And once this deal is in place, she immediately grows him.
Yeah.
Like, which she could have done anyway. Like, that's what kills me. It's like, you could have just made him big.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about it in a bit, but Rita's decision making in this episode isn't exactly the best.
No.
Even by her low standards.
No. So let's take a quick break before we get to the Zork fight, and we'll be right back. Alright, so we summon our Zords. Well, not us, the people on the TV box. And
Punderzord!
Yeah, wait, did you just say Punderzord?
I did, yes.
God damn.
We haven't even gotten to the Thunderzords yet.
No,
You blew your load so early.
He couldn't hold that in for a year.
He set us up for a Zord summoning joke. I had to pounce on it.
So they form the Megazord, and this is, you know, like we've talked about it many times, you can always tell when it's the Sentai footage. This footage in particular is like way desaturated color wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. It looks really shitty.
It looks like a Zack Snyder movie for some reason.
Hey, no, that's insulting to the Sentai footage.
So, anyway, yeah, Fang is fighting them, and he is so dumb, again, that he's literally like, "You have eggs!" And he's punching the Megazord, and Jason is yelling, "We don't have eggs, we don't know what you're talking about, you need to..."
I really want more, like, it doesn't fit the format of the show. I want more bad guys to just have stupid motivations for attacking the Power Rangers.
And Rita just, like, bald-faced lies. Like, I don't know, they've got your...
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, totally independent of Rita. Like, if this guy showed up and said, "I want some fucking eggs."
And they're just like, "We don't know what you're talking about."
The thing is, though, again, he's doing a really bad Peter Lorre impression.
Yeah.
So
I
he's
want
going,
some eggs!
Yeah. You've got eggs!
It's really terrible. And Jason's like, if you don't stop fighting, we'll have to make you stop, which is like a, you're not good at negotiation, Jason.
Now
like,
I'm going to think if Peter, I don't know, I'm going, my brain's going off on a tangent. I'm sorry. If Peter Lorre was alive in this age of superhero movies, what superhero villain would he be? What would he make be a good fit for?
Mr. Mixaplex.
There you go. Thank you.
Oh, God damn it. God damn it.
Now, can I ask a question? Was that an intentional setup for that, or were you just throwing that out there and
seeing Well, no, I was going to do that if someone didn't.
Okay, good. Gotcha. Glad.
All right. I'm secured. Glad.
So, work, anyway, what a weird fucking signature thing for this show to have.
It just started happening, and really, yeah. That's the best.
It's gonna be like the snail in Adventure Time.
Well, he is a trickster.
It will be in every episode.
Yeah,
so, he is a trickster. Once he appears, it's so hard to get rid of him.
Well, we haven't said his name backwards yet.
Yeah,
that's because how to do it.
I also don't think we've been saying his name forwards correctly. There's some poor listener out there who doesn't know what we're talking about, and you cannot Google this, and I'm so sorry.
If the accepted pronunciation, the official DC pronunciation of Mr. Mixaplicket's name, send us an audio file to the
you don't have to. I know it.
Or something.
I know it. You don't have to send it.
Oh, go.
It's Mixus Piddalick.
Mixus Piddalick.
Is that really?
That is.
Okay.
Mixus Piddalick. All right.
Okay. And that's from at least two different of their animated adaptations.
Okay.
Okay. Mixus Piddalick. I'll have to get used to saying that instead of Mixaplicket.
Listener, if you don't know what we're talking about and you want to actually be able to look it up.
No, this is too defining the.
Now here's how you do it. You go to IMDb, go to Superman the Animated Series, and look for Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Did Gilbert Gottfried do him in the.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
I need
to
watch that episode.
So
episodes. He appeared multiple times.
So, Fang,
I know what I'm doing tonight.
Fang kicks the absolute shit out of the Power Rangers. Yeah. Which is, and he's literally, like, he's just yelling eggs. Like, his motivation, he's not like arguing with them. Where are my eggs? He's just screaming the word eggs.
For such a, low rent villain, he totally schools them. Like thoroughly from start to finish.
Yeah. And also my favorite part is that Rita is like hanging out on a dam nearby.
Yeah.
And no, she literally looks over and is like, oh, hey, there's a dam. Yeah, that'll work. Let's blow that up.
Yeah. Fuck that dam.
And she tells the monster to attack the dam. For what purpose, I don't quite know, really.
Just like, for random destruction. But I love that whoever was doing the Netflix subtitles fucked up. And even though this is a kid show, it didn't occur to them that Rita's not actually saying damn, D-A-M-E.
Yeah,
D-A-M-N, sorry.
No. Yeah,
you're right. They
she
spelled
says
it.
The damn with an exclamation mark, like she's swearing. Yeah.
So finally, we cut back to Tommy, and the putties are still, like, in showtime, even 5 minutes later, messing with the fucking watches or the watch and the morpher. The one on the left looks like he's texting on the morpher. Like, it's really weird.
Well, he's trying to do the thing we were talking about. He's trying to figure out how to morph.
Yeah. Putty morph. So Tommy doesn't just drop down. He uses the hanging net to like swing vine attack into the putties.
Right.
And also then there's five putties again where before there were definitely only two, but whatever. I guess that's fine. he grabs his morpher, and my favorite part is that like instead of just morphing, he first calls Jason. Because he cannot make the connection that, like, oh, this is the fifth time that they went to attack the other Rangers and just fucking waylaid me first.
Well, just imagine, like, the one time he doesn't, like, check first. He makes the assumption, like, summons the Dragon Sword and just shows up to the quarry and there's nobody around. It's like, guys?
Or comes into town and they're all just hanging out, like having lunch.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say if they have like GPSs, he just teleports at morphed to them at like the fucking juice bar just chilling. He's like, goodbye. And then just like,
ignore me.
He has to ask where they are though, and Jason has to go, we're at the dam.
I guess that's true. So, yeah. Yeah. So no GPS.
Also,
in
like,
the,
when Tommy starts swinging by the net to kick the putties, did anyone else like, really, really want Jungle Japes to start playing?
Yeah, well, like, we did talk. Real we did talk about it for a good 10 minutes last episode. So sure. No, yeah, that'd have been great. I actually would have loved Jason David Frank to give his best Tarzan yell.
Well, wait a second. I'm looking back at this. You guys are wrong. He doesn't call to check in. As he's picking up the communicator, Jason just so happens to call him.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah, of course. Like, that would be how it works out, yeah. Otherwise, he would probably not even have bothered.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't have even occurred to him.
Yeah.
So, the Dragon Zord comes, they fight. Like, do I need to go over this?
No, they do the battle point. Mode. They do
yeah,
the...
they do the battle mode, then they make the... Mega Dragon Megazord.
There's kind of a fun shot where like the Fang is about to destroy the dam, and like the Dragon Zord runs up in front of him, and then like stands arms spread, like no, you shall
not
pass.
Which is great, but also funny because they just established last episode that he can use his staff as like a magical shield, but he just doesn't do that. He right. just hangs out in front of the dam and gets blasted. And then they make the Ultra Zord. And they shoot a million rainbows again. And there's that fun shot, which I referenced earlier, of them doing Sig Heil when they fire off all the weapons. And yeah, that's it. Like, once you get all the Zords together, there doesn't seem to be a lot that the...
I was astonished that they had to go, like, full... Whatever the
Ultra Zord, yeah.
Ultra... Well, whatever it is, yeah. Like for this fool,
yeah,
this
yeah,
fucking
a fish
egg
monster.
Loving motherfucker.
Yeah. Simon mentioned, because he's ahead of us, that like there's this stretch of like 10-15 episodes where they use the Ultra Zord a bunch, and then it shows up very rarely. I'm not sure why that is production wise, but yeah, it seems like it was they used it almost every monster, and then. Went like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that every episode because it's kind of boring. Like, don't get me wrong. The shot of the Ultra Zord shooting a million rainbows is great.
But the problem with the Ultra Zord is it's not mobile at all. Like,
no, it can't be in a fight scene. It just shows up and shoots. So it's
shoots
not that.
Everything.
It's, yeah,
it's,
yes.
not a, it's not dynamic, is the problem.
No. So that's
then we,
it.
We get just a brief clip of Rita's like demo reel. Where she's standing in front
totally.
Of a gray screen and
yeah.
screen testing lines.
Yeah. And she just yells, oh, I'll get you. And again, we cut back to the Rangers and specifically get this close up, or not close up, but like Billy is in the middle of the shot with this fucking get up and we don't get to hear his country song and I want to. Yeah.
There's two things about this shot. One is, the Rangers, like, stop to tell Zordon what happened on the communicator instead of just doing it right after the fight. They wait until they get back. They're unmorphed. They're in public again. It's like, okay, now we're going to bring Zordon up to speed. Also, behind the Rangers on the wall is a big old sign that says, Ernie's special, chunky chicken.
No, it says chunky chili.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's chunky chili.
Oh, man.
That's really like, unfortunate because I would love the idea that
he just cooked Ernie, the chunky chicken?
Ernie loves the Power Rangers because he just cuts up the monsters that they kill.
I mean,
when
I don't
giant.
Think that's been disproven. It's just not, we don't know it for a fact.
I mean, they are giant monsters. Like, you could get a lot of meat off a giant chicken.
But I mean, they explode so violently. I don't know what's left.
Well, yeah, I mean, also, like, they're made of rocks, like we saw that with the gnome.
Well, the gnome, I mean, you don't
the
know.
The gnome was weird, though. I don't know if he's,
I was
like,
about to say, the gnome sucked.
Yeah, the gnome
ass,
was kind of gnarly.
Fuck you, Joel. Get off, god damn it.
Joel, I love you. Just
so
want you to know that.
Thank you, I'm glad I'm appreciated.
Yeah, so, we cut to the, I was going to say the Rangers, but I meant just Jason and Tommy. And also, that's a little reductive and kind of mean to the rest of the fucking team. But yeah, they
Well, I love that Ernie comes out and is like, where the fuck have you all been? You're next.
Yeah. I also love, and I don't think we mentioned it, but their like performance outfits, they literally look like Player One and Player Two in yes. like Bad Dudes or any number of
yeah, Double Dragon,
yeah,
Streets of Rage.
They're in black geese with wearing their color tank tops under them,
which and happens then, to be the classic Mario Luigi split.
Yes, red and green, and their color like wristbands mm-hmm. and bandanas.
Yep. So and just like Mario and Luigi, everyone loves the red one, but the green one is way cooler.
Yes, fact.
So in this like performance, Jason has a black belt. Did he get promoted to black belt, or is this like just a prop?
He was a red belt before, right?
Right.
Well, it's been 15, 16 episodes, and when I looked it up, because Greg, our previous guest, asked, red was in karate is right below black. So
right.
Could be. Maybe they're both black belts now.
But I mean, are we ever going to see the red belt again? Because the second we see it, we know that he's lying.
Or he could have been, can you be demoted? Can you lose belt rank Ooh. In karate? Oh, man. I don't actually know about martial arts.
Yeah. Also, let's talk about what dicks these two are. They make everybody in this stupid gym watch them do karate every day.
Yeah. Literally every day. We get it, guys.
We know.
They stop people from working out to make them watch them do kung fu at each other.
Yeah. Is this like the 90s equivalent of we get it, you vape?
Yes, yeah, yes, basically. Exactly. Yeah, Tommy and Jason are constantly walking up to strangers and describing all of their kata to them and talking about how they're gonna up
hey,
the...
bro, hey, bro, do you karate, bro?
Yeah.
What's your kick style, man?
Like, I totally...
Savage!
I can totally see, at the very least, Jason being that guy who, like, you one time, to be polite, asked him to elaborate on, like, his karate, and now every time he sees you, he just walks up to you and is like, let me tell you about this new thing I learned. And you're like, please, God, no. So, yeah, they do karate at each other, and then they break some boards because otherwise Jason will just go mad and murder the whole crowd.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Then...
We get,
well, I'm we just going to put in this... I'm just going to put it this whole thing into the episode.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
Just play, but, like, to describe the scene visually, we have Bulk on lead guitar, Skull on bass, and some random God knows who on drums.
Dressed like a cartoony prisoner with a stripy suit.
Yeah.
Also, so, what happened to Bulk and Skull's, like, original, like, other gang members?
We talked about that. They had, like, three other punks in the first couple episodes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? They're gone.
Yeah.
But they're literally back-to-back shredding on, like, fucking... I was going to say Flying V's, but that's not what that is. No. I don't know what this guitar body is called.
Yeah.
But, and, like, there's a quick cut to one person in the audience
yes!
who is oh, making man. This, like...
That face.
What the fuck is happening face?
And, to be clear, I mean, they're not awful.
No. This is something that would, if you were at an actual talent show, would receive mild applause. Instead, yeah. they laugh at them.
Yes.
Which,
well,
they're
to be
laughing
fair, the
at
musical,
children. Like, the, they're teenagers, yes, but this is a school talent show.
Yes, yeah,
you
yeah.
You applaud politely. Like, most people in the audience are adults, presumably parents of these students.
Yeah, like,
you guys applaud politely no matter what the fuck you just saw.
You guys all had, like, middle and high school talent shows. There were people who did garbage up there.
Oh,
and
yeah,
and you applauded because you're not a monster.
So, like, what I love the most about these shots are when they show the Rangers, you can see some audience members in the foreground, and there is, like, a mom in the audience who just has this, like, pasted-on grin, like, oh, look at them. They're really doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like, I'm on TV. I'm going to make
this
happy.
There's the dude right behind her in the tie who in a couple of the shots, like, kind of snickers to himself and, like, looks at the ground.
Yeah.
But, like, at least one person in this room is an actual fucking human being. Because Kimberly kind of starts to clap for Bulk and Skull, then realizes no one else is doing it and stops.
Kimberly continues to be the best actor on this show and does like three slow claps.
Who knew that the calf muscle was the acting muscle?
and that's the episode. Like, oh boy.
I loved it. Eggs. I loved it from top to bottom.
It's not a good episode.
That's where you're wrong.
I think one of the many glaring weaknesses of this episode is that even Bulk and Skull's normal, like, routine that they do, I didn't find it funny. Like, it just didn't.
I mean, I like the guitar performance at the end.
The talent show bit is the high point of the entire fucking episode, but I just, the thing with the eggs. And
what?
It's
fucking.
And
it's half of a
Mr.
bit.
C,
it's half of a bit.
You can't. You can't do a joke in media res. It doesn't work.
Yes, you can't cut to a joke in progress.
I completely disagree. I enjoyed it so much more than I would have if they had fleshed out that hard-boiled egg side plot. The fact that it's just, hey, let's peek into what Bulk and Skull are up to in their world. Oh, they're heisting some eggs. Great.
Can I say that? Even giving this the biggest benefit of the doubt, the setup for that, the only setup we get is Ernie saying, like, I can't keep track of all the props. Sort of intimating that these eggs are props for their show, except they absolutely aren't in any way.
No.
Like, what are the fucking eggs
for? There's gotta be acts in this contest that we don't see. I mean, again, Billy's dressed to...
If it was a juggler, sure, but hard-boiled eggs?
Yeah.
But like,
for the juggler who wants the showiness of juggling eggs, but not the risk of them being wrong.
No mess. Yeah, no muss, no fuss juggling. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, no, in my mind,
20 eggs, apparently.
Juggling these eggs, and then the second part of the act is he catches them in his mouth and swallows them whole.
Oh, jeez. Don't do that.
That would actually be kind of neat, actually.
That would still be less impressive than raw eggs because the, like, yolk moving around as they're juggling would throw the weight off and make it a much more difficult juggle.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh. I actually don't doubt you. You're a big nerd. That's all.
So I love that as Zach is gradually becoming less and less tolerant of this show's dumb bullshit, Luke is just embracing it.
No. Yes. Hold on.
Like,
you guys
are completely switching roles over these last few weeks.
When I give my, like, little tiny summation, I'm talking about, like, as an episode. This is a bad episode.
No, and I'm also doing that, and I'm saying as an episode, this was a masterpiece.
No, goddammit. It's super enjoyable, like, to talk about it.
Here's the thing, and Mike is right that our general attitudes about this are flip-flopping, but it's because we value different things.
It's because I like the part where it's, like, a fairly good kids show.
Right, and I've accepted that it's never going to be anything other than tolerable, and I would rather them just lean into it being a train wreck. Because that's way more enjoyable to watch.
Well, you've definitely
no,
got
we didn't
it
get
on
the
this
we didn't
one.
Get the train wreck season.
I know.
It's a deep cut. So anyway, yeah, it's a fucking it's a train wreck, but it's enjoyable in the same ways.
Yes.
That a lot of the really bad episodes of this show are.
I will say this, for as bad as this episode is, it actually has one of the funniest Babu lines in the entire series thus far. Right before they fight the Rangers, Babu says, "You'd better leave or I'll be forced to raise my voice in anger."
Yes!
Which is a fantastic
wow, I didn't catch that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we skipped over that, but that is amazing.
Yeah, so I will say that the next episode is the Green Candle Part 1, and boy, I remember it being really good.
Have you watched it yet?
No.
Okay.
So speaking of things we skipped over, we also got a close-up shot of, and we just missed this scene, When Finster first sends the monster down, we get a kind of a close-up shot of Earth where he's sending it to, and I'm pretty sure it's in the middle of Africa.
Oh,
wait,
yes!
What?
Have we figured it out?
Did I miss that?
Yeah, they totally show Angel Grove.
Oh my
and
god.
It is absolutely in the middle of Africa.
Okay. Did they show Angel Grove in the middle of Africa, or is that where he drops the monster?
No, they show the beam of, like, light where it's, striking down.
With how much that monster was running around and how he got, some eggs.
Do you think he swam across the fucking ocean?
Where else do you get them eggs, Zach?
He's kind of a fish monster, so maybe he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because they cut down, they immediately cut to a shot of Earth where the, beam of light is hitting, and I'm pretty sure that's not Africa.
Is it not? Where is it?
No, like, the on-location shot is absolutely not in the middle of Africa.
No, it's, in fact, I'm looking on a map, and it appears to be Tanzania is where...
This is when the beam goes to Earth.
Yes,
because then there's the shot, like I said, of through the telescope, which is on some sort of small body of water, some kind of little inlet somewhere, and then it kind of zooms out too fast to really pick out where it might be. And I'm wondering.
Well, that's usually how it goes. It's usually really vague.
Okay.
Well, the zooming in and out of the telescope from the Sentai is obviously pointing at Japan, because when it zooms out, it's always it's over in Asia. But then, the laser at Africa is clearly something that the American producers put together, and was just like, I don't know, fuck it, point a laser at the Earth.
Yeah. Just don't bother. It doesn't matter. But it made me laugh in any case. So it's a bad. It's not great.
I'm great.
Scared now because of Luke's reaction to what I said about the next episode.
I will admit, it is not as good as the last one I was on, because there's no putty restaurant.
Well, yeah, that is a bummer.
Unless those eggs are, from a doggy bag from the Putty Bowl restaurant.
Sure.
Well, you... Yeah.
That's why he's so mad. You have to wait, 3 months to get a table at that place.
Oh, yeah, no, reservations are backed up like crazy
at
that
place. You have to use open table, and you've got to do it really early. So,
and that's just to get, a shitty table. If you want to get a nice table, you have to wait until, January of next year.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's rough. So, anyway, let's talk about listener questions. We've got a couple.
We're not going to answer them. We're just going to talk about
them. We're going to read you them and then just let you ponder them at home by yourself.
Right, yeah, and then next week we'll come back and discuss what everyone's reflected on. And
Yeah, exactly. If you have listener questions, you can send them to us on Twitter, at teenswithtude. You can send them to us through Gmail, teenswithtude@gmail.com, or you can join the Facebook group Teenagers with Attitude and ask them there. We have a couple. The first one is from Solysp, Solysp. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay.
But our question is, what Pokemon would you have on a Poke Sentai team? And he has linked, and I put up on the Twitter account if you want to see it. There's a picture of a bunch of dudes at a convention who have created Sentai outfits that are modeled after Pokemon, and it's pretty great.
They're really good costumes.
My only concern is, how do you not have a Greninja on that team?
Yeah, yes. Greninja, especially because they gave the Garchomp Ranger a scarf.
Yeah, which you would think you would give the actual guy who has a scarf.
I feel like there's actually a really easy way you could not use Greninja. Greninja's actually really fucking lame. Yeah.
Greninja is a frog ninja whose tongue is a scarf. That's
awesome. I get that. I think he's fucking dumb, even by Pokemon standards.
Nope,
I do not get the love for the character.
No.
Well, okay, to actually answer the question, you have Tyrant, who represents Jason. You have Tyrantrum. You have Pillow Swine, who represents Zach. You have Luxray, who represents Trini. You have Aerodactyl, who represents Kimberly. You have Aggron, who represents Billy. And you have Tyranitar, who represents Tommy.
Why would you use Aggron and not Bastiodon, who's way closer to being a Triceratops?
Because I forget about Bastiodon, because the Gen 4 fossil Pokemon suck.
Also, that's like the most boring way to answer this question, Bob.
I would note really quickly that I don't know shit about Pokemon, so this is basically going to be a Luke and Joel question.
Are we talking... Okay, let's establish now. Six majors? Is that the number we're going with?
Well, you have a six...
Here's what it is.
Here's what it is. Pokemon team, so it makes more sense.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
The main five rangers are all various Pikachus, and the sixth ranger... is a Ditto pretending to be a Pikachu.
Okay, that's one way to take it.
So yeah,
I feel
Luke,
like Ditto would be
Luke,
the Putty Patrollers, though.
Yeah, Luke, I'll agree with you. It was a boring question, but I've had this on lockdown for a long time, and I had to pull it out.
All right. Fair enough.
I think it's actually a great question.
It's a boring answer to the question.
The only input I have is that the sixth ranger should be a legendary Pokemon. That's the only thing I've got.
I disagree. I think it should be like a quasi-legendary, one of the ones that are hard to find and very rare, but
yeah,
not like
the pseudo-legendaries where their stats are better than every other Pokemon, but not as good as the legendary.
Okay, that's
like
fine.
A Snorlax, for instance.
Sure.
Oh, I was thinking of an actual pseudo-legendary, like one of the dragons or something.
Or it could be far-fetched. That's the other way you could go.
Yeah.
Because he already has a cool weapon, by which I mean a vegetable.
he does have a Sentai weapon, I'll give you that.
Yes. Yeah. I'll just bring up Farfetch'd it.
Let's start from the beginning here and work our way through. I think we should at least maintain color stuff. Not necessarily
okay.
with
so, yeah,
everything,
a red,
like red,
a red Pokemon,
leader.
A yellow Pokemon, right.
Right, so Red Ranger's the leader.
Is it not just Charizard? Like, is that just too easy?
So, I think Charizard is too, like, mean and, like, he's too much of a loner Pokemon,
well, why not just
right?
go with Charmander, then?
He's too sweet and cuddly.
Okay. What about Charmeleon?
He's too, like, bratty.
Okay. So, what about a Blaziken, Luke?
Blaziken is where I was leaning.
Okay. That's a chick. That's, like, a fire chicken. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's like a Taekwondo
It's a kick bird.
It's like a Taekwondo rooster.
I would say either Blaziken or Infernape.
Yes, Infernape is also a good choice. He's similar, like...
He's like a fire monkey.
Yeah. Okay. That one, yes.
I know how Pokemon works.
So okay. Blaziken is a kicking one. Infernape would be more of a punching-focused one. So you've got a Jason versus... I don't know, is one of the Rangers really big into punching?
They're all kind of
Well, so I think then if you work backwards from that, if we're saying the Red Ranger is a fire type, let's go with Blaziken just for ease.
Okay.
Then the sixth ranger has to be a water type because he has to be like super effective against the Red Ranger.
Oh, okay. I can deal with that.
So from that, I would say the sixth ranger should be Greninja.
except God that since it. Greninja's part. Actually, no, that works great, because they're both good against each other.
That's
Greninja
true,
is
yeah,
also
because,
part dark.
Yeah, fighting is strong against dark, but water is strong against fire.
Yeah,
that's
perfect, then.
Yeah. Okay, so Greninja and Blaziken for that. And then we need a pink ranger, so just like a girly Pokemon.
Well,
so
one of the fairy types, pretty much.
Jigglypuff.
Can I sell you on Wigglytuff?
No.
What about Igglybuff?
No, fuck you.
No.
Which you might think I made up, but
Jigglypuff or go home, motherfucker.
I like Wigglytuff, though, and it gets so little representation.
Well, Wigglytuff is like objectively ears, better than Jigglypuff in any real sense, but
right.
Jigglypuff's like one everyone knows because of Smash.
Yeah. Well, and because it's
well,
been
and because
of
the cartoon. Yeah. Like, yeah.
No, but Wigglytuff was
awesome.
What about a
Clefable? Clefable would make an interesting ranger.
Oh, you could do something cool with, like, its weird angel wings.
Yeah.
And the fact that it has metronome, so it can just do random
things. Oh, man, the pink ranger just, like, does the finger thing for metronome, and then, like, just random attacks.
Okay, so, yeah, I think the pink ranger has to be Clefable.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
That's 3 out of 3. We're actually kind of doing all right. I thought this would be interminable, but let's keep going.
Okay. So then what is the deal with the black ranger? What do we say is the...
Well, Gengar? A dark type, probably?
Scrappy. What's the one ooh, with that Weevil, looks like it has big Weevil. Pants?
Weevil's cool.
Okay. Yeah, I can see Weavile. But the, I wonder if that's, like, stepping on the Greninja Ranger's toes, like, because it's the cool, like, slick one, right?
Yeah, but that's kind of our, was our Black Ranger. Like, the Tommy showed up and kind of took over, like, half okay. of Jason's role and half of Zach's. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll give you that.
But hold on. What's the Pokemon that has hammer pants?
Oh, that's, shit. That's, Scraggy?
Scrafty.
Scraggy? No, Scraggy. Yes, it should be Scraggy because
those. By the way, I want to point out those aren't pants. That's his loose skin that keeps falling off of him.
So that's horrifying.
Well, he's like a lizard that's molting.
Okay,
but also Scraggy is the little version of it. The fully evolved version is Scrafty.
Okay, Scrafty.
Oh, and speaking of lizards, Helioptile would make a great Yellow Ranger. Just want to throw that.
Yeah, Helioptile would be good. I almost don't want to go with another, like, bipedal lizard, though, just because I want diversity on this team.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, bipedal lizard kind of fits the original Power Rangers.
Well, but not the Yellow Ranger.
Yeah, she is
no,
a tiger.
No, that's true. That is
what
true.
About, like, what's that, like, the cat, electric cat, or is it a wolf?
There's a few. There's
you're
Luxray.
Thinking of Luxray, which is the one I call.
But there's also,
Raikou, which is... Oh, yeah, I forgot about Manectric.
Okay. Who has a mega evolution now that's like a giant lightning bolt lion. Let me look
also,
it up.
Also, I want to be clear that I said Scrafty not because, like, black people have to have hammer pants, but because Zach is always dressed in the most stereotypical 90s. Right.
This is
African-American
Mega Manectric that I'm posting in the Skype chat here. Let's see what you think
and
of this
one. And
this
is your call for the yellow?
Well, this is a suggestion. I'm not necessarily picking it yet.
That is, well, it has the Power Rangers logo as part of its body.
That's
shit.
True.
So
that thing, like, looks cool as hell.
If it wouldn't completely throw off the power balance of the team, I'd say Raikou, because Raikou is a saber-toothed tiger and is freaking
awesome.
Yeah,
but I think that's going into the legendary level. Like, yep. That's their Zord.
Yep.
Wait, do they get inside other Pokemon? Because that's creepy.
I think their Zords have to be legendary Pokemon.
Okay, but like robot versions, they don't like crawl inside.
Right, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
No,
yeah, it'd be like in, no, it would be like in Black and White, Barkley. where they've got the fake robot Pokemon that you can fight to make movies.
Barkley. Sure. Okay, is that... I think we got all of them. Yeah.
No, we didn't do the blue... We didn't do the blue
oh,
Ranger.
Okay, what's the nerdiest Pokemon? Is it Mr. Mime?
No, that's not a nerd. That's a horrifying... We don't talk about Mr. Mime.
Oh, I'll talk about Mr. Mime.
No, let's talk about Mr. Mime.
Luke, what we need blue, so what's the nerdiest Pokemon?
Okay. Shit, let me think. Well, it's not nerdy, but it's definitely like wimpy and ineffectual Drifblim, which is a ghost Pokemon that looks like a child's balloon.
Oh, sure.
It attempts to drag children into the underworld, but because it's so light and weak, they just play with it.
Okay.
Like, it hates children and tries to murder them, but it's incapable of doing so.
That's good.
That sounds like Billy, yeah.
I've got one. What about Wobbuffet?
Oh.
Wobbuffet is a strong choice.
Wobbuffet's real good.
Okay. All right. I think we're good.
Okay.
I think that's all six. And I think we need to move on.
Yeah.
Because we have a couple more. So Dr. Tank Hammer, who previously has guested on one of our bonus episodes, and this is a non-Power Rangers question, and I'm going to go around the table. What is everyone's favorite movie based on a video game?
I'm assuming Wreck-It Ralph is cheating.
I don't see why.
Well, it's not based on a video game, so...
It's based on video games as a concept, but
yeah,
not an actual...
So, Matt, why don't you go first?
Okay, I'm gonna say Wreck-It Ralph, if we're allowed to count that, because it's actually a good movie.
I
and
mean,
then...
honestly, like...
It's a legitimately fantastic film.
You can
say
that. That's
yeah.
Like, that does feel like cheating, just because...
yeah. Because it's actually a good movie.
Okay, so it's everyone's actual favorite, so we're gonna disqualify it and pick the next
one. It's not my actual favorite. Don't speak for me, please.
What's your actual favorite then?
Super Mario Brothers.
That was gonna be my pick if Wreck-It Ralph was disqualified.
Okay, you can have Wreck-It Ralph. Luke gets Super Mario Brothers.
It is amazing.
Cool. I rewatched the Super Mario Brothers movie as an adult, and I would actually recommend you do that.
Actually,
not because it's good.
No, no.
Is anyone's like pick like once we discount Wreck-It Ralph, is anyone's pick not the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Well, that's the problem. I haven't really watched any other movies based on video games.
I mean, the clips I've seen of the Street Fighter movie seem pretty great.
The Street Fighter movie is
Shit! No, I change it. Mortal Kombat.
You son of a bitch. Mine too.
Yeah, when you said, is that everyone's, I was like, no, it's fucking Mortal Kombat. What are you talking about?
I had honestly forgotten about
Mortal Kombat.
The first Mortal Kombat movie, if you like dumb kung fu movies, is really fun.
It is the dumbest kung fu movie.
It still is. Liu Kang's hair is amazing. Mm-hmm. I want it so bad. On my head, and the special effects are terrible. The guy who plays Raiden, whose name is not coming to mind,
Christopher Lambert,
awful.
He's amazing.
Oh man! I know. We're not supposed to talk about other podcasts because Luke gets mad. But like, sometime check out the We Hate Movies episodes on the two Mortal Kombat movies and all the jokes about how much of a creepy pervert Christopher Lambert as Raiden is.
He's such a bad actor.
It's so good.
That movie's really enjoyable. I will say that. I will speak up for the Street Fighter movie. It's got some fun action. It's really stupid. And it clearly was made by people who've never played Street Fighter at all.
But I will say the guy playing Bison does an amazing job.
Yeah, Raul Julia. Who passed away right after that.
Unfortunately for him, that was his like swan song for acting.
It's become a meme, and that's unfortunate. But like his delivery of... It was Tuesday. Line.
Yeah, that's a badass line.
It's so good.
Like that is a fantastic actor who knows he's in a stupid movie.
It's like that,
having fun hamming it up, which is exactly what you want in that kind of movie.
Exactly perfect for a villain like Bison. It's even true to the character, weirdly enough.
It's like Alan Rickman in that really bad Robin Hood movie. Where it's like, someone put him in this movie and he shouldn't be here, but it's great. Like, that's basically Raul Julia in
when someone else is like, why, he like talks about how he's going to rip out Robin's like heart with a spoon.
Yes.
And then some servant is like, why a spoon? Because it's dull, you dote, it'll hurt more. It's so good. I love this delivery of that line.
Those three are probably the like classic good bad ones.
So I'm gonna cheat like three ways for mine.
Okay.
Digimon the movie.
Yeah, that's a weird one because it's like
one, it's not technically a movie. It's three like shorter animated things strung together that aren't connected really at all. Two, it's based on like virtual toys that aren't technically like video games.
Yeah. There were Tamagotchis, if anyone's unfamiliar.
Yeah, basically. And three, it's not really even technically based on those very much.
No, it's totally like... I remember that movie, at least having a good soundtrack for
the soundtrack for that movie is amazing. And honestly, parts of the actual films that are in there are legitimately good.
No one here is going to say the Pokemon movie, right?
No.
I've never seen it.
Okay.
Here's the weird thing about Pokemon v. Digimon was... Growing up, like
Dawn of Justice,
I knew what Pokemon was based on. I knew what Pokemon was based on. I had no idea Digimon was based on anything.
You just thought it was
random. I never knew about the toy. I learned about the Digimon Tamagotchi things from listening to Digital Moncast.
There you go.
The thing is, like most of that stuff wasn't in America. Like most people's exposure to that entire franchise was the cartoon.
Yeah. I want to stop it for a second and say if we do have anybody out there who can draw and you want to draw Graham's Pokemon versus Digimon Dawn of Justice concept art, I would be really happy.
It's not much of a fight. Pokemon is for cool guys and Digimon's the lame Kmart knockoff version of Pokemon.
All right. I think I
know some people that would actually stab you in the throat for making this.
Well, yeah, I know dumb people too.
I'm gonna break this up before it gets started. So yeah, there's some good, bad ones. I don't know that there's any genuinely good, video game movies.
Yeah.
I think the Mortal Kombat movie.
Mortal Kombat is
the
fun.
Fist.
Yeah.
Prince Mortal of Kombat's... Persia was okay. It's not great.
Yeah, Prince of Persia.
The problem. The problem with trying to find a good video game movie adaptation is video games and movies have very different focuses on what they're presenting. So in order to make a good movie out of a video game property, you have to really abandon most of what makes that video game property.
Yeah.
Well, unless you go for like a story heavy one, at which point it's really just you're cutting together the cutscenes.
Right, but the problem is like the way games tell a story makes it so that the actual story part of games aren't
typically
very good as
are
just
not
a
very
story.
Good as
I'm,
just
let
like
me
the
text,
I'm yeah. tentatively optimistic for the Assassin's Creed movie.
It could be
whenever
good
that
yeah.
finally comes out.
Let me like put a some spin on this question. Is there a video game like that you think could make a good movie, and like you have like a director that you'd want to see it, like make it?
Uncharted.
Okay.
Because it is a movie already.
Yeah.
Basically.
Steven Spielberg. From 82. Well,
yes. Thank you. Old Steven Spielberg.
Right.
I don't know a director.
Who directed The Mummy?
Steven Summers.
Did a good job with Uncharted. Oh, just National Treasure. Hold on. Now this is getting even further afield. Now I want to see National Treasure versus The Mummy.
That'd be nice. Okay, so here's my suggestion, and I refuse to explain it or elaborate on my thinking on this one, so you guys are just going to have to deal with the answer. I want to see Guillermo del Toro's Undertale.
Yeah, okay, yes.
I don't need to elaborate on that very much, honestly. I think that might work.
Yeah, I could see that. So mine, that I would adore, and just let me throw this out, the Wachowski siblings present Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
I was actually going to say Metal Gear Solid directed by, wait for it, Hideo Kojima.
Here's the thing. If we're gonna do the Wachowskis doing Metal Gear, it has to specifically be Revengeance.
No. See, I'm saying the very first Metal Gear Solid, and then, like, I imagine you have, like, the whole scene of him, like, in the sub and launching through and swimming into Shadow Moses, but that's all intercut with flashbacks to the first two Metal Gears in the same style of the Speed Racer movie. Like, getting all the backstory
with
Big Boss.
I also think, actually, they would be pretty good at... They are typically pretty good at marrying, like... Serious is not the right word. Like narrative stuff with just goofy shit.
Yeah.
And as long as you
wait,
don't
hold
take
on.
It,
so would
seriously.
We would we digitally reconstruct like early 90s Kurt Russell to play Snake?
Wouldn't the end result of Wachowski doing the original Metal Gear basically be the cutscenes from Twin Snakes?
No, because they're better directors than Kojima. And I say that as someone that loves Metal Gear.
So, I think that there you go for those. We do have... He had a follow-up.
I never had mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I want Quentin Tarantino to do Lisa the Painful.
What is Lisa the Painful?
Oh,
Lisa the Painful.
Shit.
Yeah, that would actually work. Lisa the Painful is a really good, but not as good as Undertale, but still very good indie RPG about a post-apocalyptic society where there is only... one woman left, lots and lots of dark humor and lots of feel bad moments in that movie.
Yeah. The last thing I was going to say is no, you would not digitally reconstruct Kurt Russell. You would have Carl Urban play Solid Snake.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good
pick. I'd go for that. I also just for a moment thought of George Miller's Fallout, but we already kind of have that, so I guess we don't really need more of that. So.
Yeah, that's,
that's a
not
bit
really...
too easy.
Yeah, I don't know how... Oh,
So you said he had a follow-up question?
Yeah, sorry. I was still trying to fucking think of a director for my
theoretical Uncharted
movie, and I really can't come up with one.
Michael Bay.
Well, no. Bad.
I think it's gotta be Spielberg in his prime.
Well, like, hold on.
If you want someone who's
really good at emulating Spielberg in his prime, you get Abrams to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that could work.
How about the two guys who did Winter Soldier? The Russo brothers.
Oh yeah, they'd be good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, now I'm trying to. Oh, now I'm coming back around.
Well,
I'm
yeah, fun, think of what... fun action. That's what you want for Uncharted.
Now I'm doing it reverse because I'm thinking of directors. What video game movie do you want Lord and Miller to direct?
Anything goofy. I mean,
what did he direct?
Lego Movie.
They're Clone High people. Yeah.
21 okay, and 22 well, Jump Street.
Well, I think in that case you give them something that you would think absolutely could not work as a
movie. Right, that's every one of their projects. Ooh, they announced
I want to see
like,
I want to see them
movie.
Yes. Yeah, no, Zach nailed it in one go.
I'm not doing that as like a Sonic fan, like they could make that work 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes.
And they would totally make it so just a fucking meta thing about fucking Sonic's like rise as a 90s icon and then subsequent fall from grace, and they like tie it into the story somehow, and it'd be fucking amazing.
They could also do a straight up Sonic Boom movie, that weird kind of adventure timey cartoon they've got out right now. They could do that.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on. Sorry, it took forever. One more. He has a follow up, which is, what is your favorite unlikely animated spinoff of a movie from the 90s? RoboCop, Mortal Kombat, Little Shop of Horrors, etc.
Wait, there's a Little Shop of Horrors cartoon?
There is, yes. It's bad.
Why has no one told me about this?
Because it's bad. I just told you. I will go ahead and say that mine is Beetlejuice, which has nothing to do with Beetlejuice the movie, like in any capacity.
I remember seeing ads for that show a lot. I never watched it.
Beetlejuice is the only one I really remember.
There's a bunch.
I remember that RoboCop cartoon. That was weird.
It's not a good pick, but I remember The Mask.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a weird thing. There was The Mask, okay, so this was on CBS at the same time. There was the Mask series and an Ace Ventura series.
Yep.
And they were both in completely different styles. Like, The Mask tried to be, like, everyone who wasn't The Mask was actually, like, done in a realistic style, like, very detailed and everything, so that, like, you know, when The Mask went all cartoony, it still made sense. Like, it kept the concept of, this isn't a cartoon world, but this is a cartoon guy.
Right.
The Ace Ventura series, on the other hand, was full cartoon. It was wacky just all the way.
Yeah.
And it was actually really obnoxious. But here's the fucked up thing. Those two series had a crossover. So, we had...
Oh.
Cartoon based on a Jim Carrey movie crossing over with cartoon based on a Jim Carrey movie. And the way the plot went down was in the Mask half of the crossover, which chronologically came first.
Oh my god.
I love you having to
Milo,
say that.
Yeah. Milo, the dog, goes missing, and Stanley Ipkiss hires Ace Ventura to find him.
Holy shit.
And ultimately they run into a plot where, like, this scientist...
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, this scientist has accidentally switched his brain with Milo's. It's this whole big dumb fucking thing. But anyway, then in the second half of the crossover, on the Ace Ventura side, he has to go to space to find a hamster, and he brings the mask along because, oh shit, we have to go into a black hole, and I really need someone with superpowers to help me out here.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, that's...
And then, but the end result of it is, the mask comes off of Stanley Ipkiss, and Ace Ventura accidentally sits on it,
and then he talks out of his butt, like in the
movie. He talks out of his butt, and like it's a green Ace Ventura face on Ace Ventura's ass as a separate character doing the bending over and talking out of my ass
That's
voice.
Basically, the worst thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, in the black hole, they fight literally the aliens from Aliens.
Sure.
While Ace Ventura has because why not? Why the fuck
Junior,
not?
Junior, the plant known as Audrey Junior, or Audrey 2, is a kind-hearted and helpful plant, not a mean green mother from outer space, who, unlike his live-action counterparts, has eyeballs. In the first episode, it's revealed that Junior was hatched from a prehistoric earth plant that had been dormant for 200 million years. Although Junior has a voracious appetite, this version of the plant does not feast on human blood, but he does eat other types of meat. There was, however, a running gag which involved Audrey Jr. eating the piano teacher in every episode in which the teacher appeared, and then belching out the teacher's scarf.
Real quick, there is a Highlander animated series, there is a Tales from the Crypt animated series, there is an Attack of the Killer Tomatoes animated series.
I watched all of those at one time.
And there is
another.
A Rambo animated series for children.
I vaguely remember that Highlander animated series, and that thing was weird.
Yeah.
because it was like a post-apocalyptic setting, but it wasn't quite a post, but it was like way past said apocalypse.
The tying together of all these things is that they're properties that like your children shouldn't be watching.
Right.
So they have to make them really weird to like to actually around that.
I can't believe this didn't occur to me because like I didn't even think of it because when you hear the phrase cartoon for kids based on an adult movie that is absolutely not for kids, your mind jumps to, okay, yeah, what's the dumbest and worst example? But like there's a genuinely great example. The real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And I wasn't kidding. Like I really liked the Beetlejuice cartoon. I don't know if it's
it does not hold up. Not hold up.
That's too bad.
Well, let's be fair here. We've got to judge this. We're not judging this in a vacuum. How does it hold up in comparison to the rest of these shows? Because like the Beetlejuice cartoon's not great, but in comparison to like the Little Shop of Horrors animated cartoon, and I can't believe those are words.
All I remember about Beetlejuice is he had a friend that was a French skeleton that always was trying to work out, but because he's a skeleton.
Yes, there's a skeleton. There's a big hairy monster with a cowboy hat. There.
Okay, the fucking weird thing with the fucking skeleton is there's a flashback about how like he first met Beetlejuice when they were like in high school or whatever the fuck, and the skeleton is fat.
What?
And he's exercising because he wants to keep the weight off.
Yeah.
So the skeleton is fat and then exercises and loses weight.
Yeah, of course. That's how it works.
I was gonna say this is intensely cheating, but strictly speaking, Batman the Animated Series, piggybacked off of Batman 89.
I mean, if you're gonna go that route, like Muppet Babies is a cartoon based on movies.
Actually say Muppet Babies probably counts. Like that seems fair. That's a spinoff of an older property that was not animated. Like sure, okay. And Muppet Babies, I think, was all right. It's hard to remember now.
I recall
I watched it a lot as a child.
The other thing I was going to say is, because Dustin, our sometimes guest, is not here to defend it, the Roughneck Chronicles,
the Starship Troopers, CG.
Starship Troopers, CG.
Wait. Starship Troopers had an animated spin-off for children? Man.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it, but I've heard everyone I know who's watched it says it's really good.
I could swear it came up on the show before. Were you not here for that?
He may not have been. I think it's Mainframe Entertainment also. It's the people who made
Beast Wars.
Beast Wars and
Reboot. Yeah. It was called Roughnecks.
There was a couple legit good ones, or at least that I thought so at the time, and then there were a bunch of really bad ones. I'm actually kind of shocked that there wasn't a like Alien versus Predator cartoon for small children, because there were toys for little kids when they super shouldn't have been. Like, I'm kind of surprised that didn't happen. I almost forgot.
I'm linking the trailer for Roughnecks in the chat.
I just thought of a animated show for kids based on a set of movies that's kind of not for kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's that?
Godzilla.
Oh yeah, there was a Godzilla. Yep. There were two.
Also,
one and then the one based on the 90s movie.
Well, there was one based on Godzilla and one based on a movie that shared the name of a monster.
God, shut up.
Yeah, Godzilla.
I'm really surprised there was no Jurassic Park cartoon. Like, kind
of
shocked.
I think one of the earliest examples of a cartoon tie-in to a series of movies that were not for kids, Star Wars Droids.
Oh, yeah.
About the wacky adventures of C-3PO and R2-D2.
Star Wars has always been kid-friendly enough.
It was in development that never made it.
Aw, bummer. There was a Star Trek animated show, too, right?
much like the Jurassic Park, the park. It was in development, but never made it.
All right, now we're literally just naming shows, so I think it's time to bring this to an end.
Hold on, I do want to mention, since someone brought up the Star Trek cartoon, there is an episode of that cartoon where they literally meet Satan. And it turns out he's not that bad of a guy.
There's an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation where that kind of happens too.
Okay, if you have questions, send them to us any of those ways. If you have a second, if you could review us on iTunes or leave a just feedback, rate us. That's what they typically call it. That would also be awesome.
Did we actually say the ways that they could contact us, or did we just say all
no,
of those
No, I said
ways?
It. I said it at the beginning of the section. I'm not going to do it again.
All right.
Rewind, if you want to know. Rewind your tape deck.
Say, go to the Facebook page or the email. Wait, I shouldn't have done this. I didn't know the email address.
You fucked up. So
right, I'll do it. teenswithtude@gmail.com, at teenswithtude on Twitter, Facebook group Teenagers with Attitude.
There you go. That. Leave us a review or a rating, and if you want to tweet about the show, that also helps us out a lot. So, and I do want to drop a quick, hello to new people who are, coming here from our ad over on the McElroy Brothers.
Yeah. We're so close.
Adventure Zone. We're glad to have you, and we hope you stick around.
For some reason, I'm weirded out by the idea of acknowledging that there are people listening to this because of the advertisement we placed.
Should I not say that? I don't know.
I don't necessarily know that it's wrong. It just feels weird to me.
This has felt kind of like an intimate thing where we kind of know most of the people listening to it.
You're here because we bought you. We paid for your fucking time.
No, I'm just trying.
Zach, are we fucking sellouts now?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, 100%.
Sellouts.
I mean, we're sellouts who aren't actually getting anything out of this, so we're the worst sellouts. But
I feel like I can't be a sellout on account of no one's paid me anything yet.
I literally just wanted to say,
yeah, I'm like $50. I'm like $50 in the hole for this thing.
I literally just wanted to say thank you for giving us a shot, and we appreciate it, and we will be back next
and we're sorry
week.
For scaring you off immediately.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Bye. Hello, goodbye. And next week, come back for the start of the Green Candle Saga. And
is it really a saga? It's like two
episodes. I'm trying to end this podcast really hard.
Why you gotta be so
well, hold on. Can we plug things?
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Because we've already plugged it a couple times, but now I've been on it. Our friend of the show, Molly, and her friend Ashley totally reprise the Totally Spies rewatch podcast. Yeah. I mean, by the time this episode of this podcast goes live, it'll have been a few weeks ago. But
I am going to be on it by then, too, probably.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But I was on episode 3 of Totally Reprise, and Totally Spies is a really fucking weird show.
Yeah, it's
Holy
a real
shit.
Funny show, and you should listen to it. Also, it has 3 people on it and not 7, so it's a little easier to follow.
Yes,
one.
Yeah.
In a similar vein, I've plugged it before, but we talk about Teenagers with Attitude on it pretty much every week, so I feel justified continuing to bring it up. I have a previously mentioned Digimon podcast, the Digital Moncast. We have a smaller cast as well, so it's a lot more focused, not as long. But it's basically the same thing for Digimon, which is also batshit insane, so... It's a lot of fun.
And you should also listen to my show, Let's Place, which is a comedy video game podcast where we seek to objectively and scientifically rank every video game ever produced according to quality.
Sometimes we have a ghost on to rank video games.
That episode should be up by the time this goes out. Where fantastic. We're visited by the ghost of both Antonin Scalia and Mark Twain.
So that's
and,
how that
and Justice Kennedy, who's not actually dead yet.
But, yes. Yeah.
All right. So thanks, everybody. And we will see you next week for Teenagers with Attitude. I've been Zach.
I've been Matt.
I've been Mike.
I've been Joel.
Oh, I've been Luke. Sorry. I was petting my dog.
And I have been Graham.
And may the power protect you always.
For more bricks and washing machines, stay tuned to Teenagers with Attitude.
No, not until I get some Goonie Bird eggs.
The Power Rangers have all the Goonie Bird eggs. Attack and you can have them.
Really?
Yeah, with sprinkle gunners.